Thank you, everybody, for coming here.
Gopher Nation.
A little frustrating.
Touchdown, Jack Rabbit!
Excuse me?
Stadium could tell.
Oh, pull up your drawers! Pull up your drawers, my man!
Justin Gard and Ryan Donaldson here in the Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. Welcome to Bumper to Bumper. Dan taking a midweek day off. He will be back tomorrow. He will be back Friday. And we are here until 6:30. The usual suspects will join me on the show today. Pat Kessler will join at 5:15, probably for one segment. Some stuff going in the final week or so of the legislature here in Minnesota that we will discuss with Mr. Kessler. I'm sure he'll have a nice long list that will be fair and balanced that we can discuss as well. That'll be at 5:15. Pat Micheletti will join at 4:30. And for the first hour or maybe more, maybe the whole show, I don't know, unless he's got a tea time, he's on Twitter now, hopefully not inadvertently liking anything, Meat Sauce. Paul Lambert. Hi.
Hi. And if I were accused of that, I'd own up to it.
You would own up to it.
Well, yeah. 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 I'm followed by some of those people that the man we will not speak of.
Yeah, we really tweets. Can't. I cringe to go down that road on the afternoon drive show today. But
Daddy's enjoying this.
Yeah, I mean, just go ahead and take a look at Rosen's mentions today if you want to get caught up on what's going on. And speaking of Daddy's enjoying this, he is a father.
Yeah,
and which is disappointing, to say the least. As a fellow father, it's disappointing to say the least. So just check out his mentions. The Twins, by the way, are down 6-3. It's the middle of the seventh inning. If you're at Target Field, you can probably go now. It's probably over. And did we hit 90? It's like 87 degrees today.
It feels like we have.
It's definitely, it feels like it's 4th of July weekend outside. And for Lance Lynn, it was a real tight, crisp 3 innings pitch today for Lance Lynn. 82 pitches to get through those 3 innings. It was laborious today. The game is still going on. This game started at noon, right?
Yes.
It was a 12-10 start, usually for 12-10s. They're wrapping up right about now, typically.
It's what, the sixth inning?
Middle of the seventh. So the Twins are up to bat. They're down 6-3. But yeah, this one is taking forever. I would have left, had I not had to be here, I would have left a long time ago regardless.
Where would you have gone?
Oh, that's a great question. Maybe with you? Maybe have lunch with you somewhere so you can fit your food minimum in?
I probably would have gone to the Loon.
Yeah, Loon would have been. It's 365 steps from Target Field.
Whoa.
And how many steps from your place?
Oh, I think about the same, just going in the opposite direction.
So the danger here in this hour is to not get the program director annoyed, because when Sauce is in the studio with me and Ryan Donaldson is in the production room, the control room, as you said before the show, Sauce, we hop on the Todd Turnpike pretty quickly. It turns into Todd Radio pretty quickly with my elitist background, your elitist background, and then Ryan's super elitist background.
Okay.
It turns into Toomey Luggage and Travis Matthew and Maui Jim super quick. So we're going to do our best to kind of avoid that. We will tackle some of the topics of the day, and I may have a solution for Andrew Wiggins as well. that I wanted to get your thoughts on right out of the gate here, Sauce, because the NBA playoffs are going on right now.
Yep, and they don't. I think the Cavs don't play until Saturday.
That would help.
It's unbelievable how long they take between games.
Well, there's a couple of things that are annoying me about what's going on with Cleveland right now, even before we get to the Wiggins thing. First of all, yeah, Boston's good, right?
Real good.
And Brad Stevens is amazing.
Yeah, right? he's like a Buddha. He doesn't really do much but stand there and just kind of...
He's very calm.
Yeah, he's very calm and collective.
It kind of reminds me of like the leadership that Greg Swedberg provides here.
I think it's the exact same thing.
Is that you've just done so much work before, you just trust your people to be in the right spots, and then you just kind of stand above it all and observe it all.
Yeah.
You never have to raise your voice, never have to get mad at anybody.
Ever.
And that's just kind of the way it works. But there's some things coming out last night. So everybody knew LeBron was going to play well last night, right? After he didn't play well in game one. 42 points, triple-double. He was insane, right?
Yeah.
They got no help from literally anybody else.
Is
again,
Kevin Love still on that team?
I only know he's on the team because he was sitting next to LeBron in the post-game news conference I was watching last night after the game. But what's coming out, it's so interesting to see like one team that's just totally like locked in, believes in its leaders. They don't have a ton of stars on Boston. They've got a lot of nice young pieces, right?
But it's team basketball.
And they just, you can tell they're all bought into the same thing. And maybe it's difficult when you play with LeBron to really know where you fit in at certain times, right? Because he is such an alpha, and he is so... It's easy when you don't have any stars to just say, hey, share the ball, move the ball, defend well, listen to the coach. But last night, it happened, I guess, in the locker room a couple of times, and it happened kind of post-game, too, with Kevin Love, where a couple of different players basically are throwing shade at their coach, Ty Lue, by saying, well, Brad Stevens is doing a hell of a job. Their coach is doing a great job of finding the right way to get to them, running the right plays. Kevin Love was asked last night about the Celtics' balance, and one of the things he said was Brad does a great job of getting them in the right spots. And that in of itself doesn't seem to be shady, but then you throw in what I just mentioned about the locker room. I think J.R. Smith and one other player was like, yeah, the right people aren't getting, you know, basically just saying our guy's getting lapped
by
Brad Stevens.
Super out-coached. Well, and you knew that at some point was bound to happen. When you hire guys that your best player wants as the head coach, because there isn't really a head coach, your best player's the head coach.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. When you get into these kind of pressure situations, you're going to get out-coached. And they are. Badly. Tyronn Lue is badly getting out-coached.
Well, I don't even know if you can say that, though. It's possible. By definition, Brad Stevens is probably right up with Popovich right now in terms of NBA. There's probably like five or six really, really good NBA coaches.
Yep.
And like I said, Boston just kind of has a good vibe right now. You know, they have more talent than Cleveland does, too. I mean, besides LeBron and maybe K-Love, they've got better players. They've got a better system. But the point of the whole thing for me is, you guys all picked Tyronn Lue.
Right.
You guys all quit on your last coach, who most people thought was a legitimate coach, right? Dave Blatt?
Is he back?
No, I know he was rumored for some of these jobs in the offseason. But he was an established international coach who came with, you know, some pretty big bona fides behind him. And you guys all quit on him, including LeBron.
You ran him out of town.
And you got the guy that you wanted. You got Tyronn Lue in there. And I don't know if Tyronn Lue is a good coach or not.
I doubt he is.
He won a title a couple of years ago, and they were down 3-1 in the series. I'm sure, I mean, at that level, you have to be competent. You can't just be a clown. So I know he's got some basketball acumen. Is it as much as Brad Stevens? Probably not. But who is right now? No one's hotter than him right now. But it just bugs me that after you do that 2 years ago, like, now you're starting to bicker about it. You know what I mean? Like, now you're starting to say, oh, well, our guy, I mean, he's getting run around. I mean, how can we as players do anything? How can, when our guy's putting us in the, you know what I mean? It just, that whole thing bugs me. And they might get swept. I know they're going back
to
Cleveland
now.
It's basically going to take a 50-point game by LeBron for them to not get swept at this point. But it's just the whole vibe of the Cavs right now is bugging me.
And they retooled that whole team at the trade deadline. That was, like, the biggest... It was like a video game, the way they retooled this team and the way that they basically said, none of these guys work with LeBron. We're going to go out and get all of these guys, and we're going to put together a brand new set. We're going to try and get a new cast around the star of this movie because the rest of the guys can't act their part. So we're going to bring in a whole new crowd, and now they're not getting it done. So what do you do now? And now you blame the coach.
And what, I mean, now that everybody's wondering, does LeBron stick it out at?
I doubt
this,
it.
Right? You think he's going somewhere?
I don't know. He'll go to, I mean, why wouldn't he go to Philly?
And I actually would like, you know, 8 years ago, I was like everybody else. I was annoyed that he left Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's basically paid off all his debts to me, if that means anything.
Yeah.
When he went back, won the title the way he did and then everything. I'm kind of like, I kind of want to see the experiment. Like, go to Philly, go to L.A. if you want to. Houston's a name that pops up sometimes.
Right.
So go to one of those places and see
what
can happen.
Just don't go to the Lakers. Don't go to the Lakers.
Why not?
I don't know, because I don't, because what happened to LeVar Ball? Is he dead?
I don't know. You're the one that keeps track of that.
We never hear from him anymore.
Maybe people are finally getting smart. Maybe people aren't putting cameras.
If LeBron goes there, then that monster comes right back.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
You're probably true.
So
maybe that's a reason why he wouldn't do it. The other reason, Boston is at the precipice. Remember, they're doing this without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Who, that's got to also hit double for Cleveland when you basically said, the guy we traded Kyrie Irving for is no longer with us, right? They traded Isaiah Thomas, who was injured at the time, to L.A. They basically got nothing. And so not only do you fleece us in that deal, you now are beating us without him.
Without him.
And without your big free agent signing, Gordon Hayward.
Whose leg exploded.
His ankle exploded. Oh. So it's not like I'm breaking any news here, being on the Brad Stevens bandwagon.
No, you're a huge fan.
Oh,
well, have you interviewed him in any of those Final Fours?
No, because he was always in it.
Oh, yeah, good point.
The first couple that we went to, I don't know how long he's been. Has he been in Boston 4 years, 5 years, something like that? I'm not sure exactly.
When was that run against Duke?
They went in 2010 and 2011. The first two years that I went to the Final Four in Indianapolis, which was awesome because it was Butler.
Yeah, that's what Butler
There were 70,000 Butler fans
that's
on Saturday
awesome.
Night. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And then Monday night, obviously, Hayward almost hit the game-winning shot from half court. So he was only there the first 2 years, and then I don't remember when he got the Celtics job, but he
2013.
Never, okay, so he would have had, there would have been 1 year, basically, 2 years where he would have been available, but I don't ever remember him coming on, I would have, for sure.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it would have been, I mean, it would have been like, it would have been the Chris Farley show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you
like,
remember
you remember when you guys almost beat Duke?
Yeah.
And remember when you were a waiter at Applebee's because you didn't make any money and you quit your job and you weren't working for free? I mean, I know the whole Brad Stevens story. Yeah,
that's awesome.
We've been on the bandwagon for a long time. So, anyway, Cavs are bugging me there. Have a potential solution. I want to get your thoughts first on Andrew Wiggins. If it can be redeemed. And there's no other reason to think about Andrew Wiggins today, but for I saw something that I think might be able to help him become the player that all of us want him to be. It's Todd Radio for the first hour. Take a ride down the Todd Turnpike. 3 to 4, because Meat Sauce is here, Ryan Donaldson's here, Guardsy's here, in for Barrero today. Pat Micheletti joins at 4:30, and Pat Kessler at 5:15.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry, plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's cash to 200-200.
Our friends at Subway are giving away delicious sandwich platters. Just head to KFAN.com right now and enter the keyword contest to win yours.
I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've ever longed to. I'm standing here to tell you, baby.
Thanks to Todd for sending an email to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox booth at KFAN.com. Picture of him wearing the Don't Be a Todd shirt that you could buy at the State Fair, I think, last year at the KFAN booth. Said, figured I'd be a part of the Todd Hour. Thank you, Todd. You are part of the Todd Hour. Meat Sauce Paul Lambert hanging out in studio. Ryan Donaldson here as well. Guards in for Barrero today. Dan will be back. If you're wondering why Lifehouse is playing, that's who this is, right? It's a long time ago.
This is Lifehouse.
If you're wondering why Lifehouse is playing, hanging by a moment, falling into, what's this song called?
Hanging by a Moment.
Hanging by a Moment. This was the number one song in 2001. How do we know that? We've got the graduationplaylist.com iHeartRadio app up right now. And we're going to intersperse songs that were in our graduation year, Sauce, 2001, all those years ago.
We're 3 years away from 20 years.
Is that right?
20 years.
Did you go to your 15-year, 10-year reunion?
The end of our freshman year was 20 years ago.
Is that right? Yeah, the first year you took Chinese?
No, I took that seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Yeah. Ni hao.
Yeah, that's all I know.
Yeah,
that's all I remember.
It is remarkable.
No, I did not go to my... No. And
you
I don't
didn't?
Think I... No.
Why not?
I don't know.
You'll go now.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the Minnetonka? Are they all at Maynard's?
I think it was
Where are all the
Maynard's.
Reunions?
But I don't... I mean... I don't know. My folks get all jacked up about going to theirs, but theirs is like their...
Theirs is different, though. It's different.
I think my dad's this year might be his 50th.
Could be.
Yeah.
And it's different because they're a different generation where when you left high school, you didn't have Facebook, you didn't have Twitter,
yeah,
you didn't have...
Point.
I mean,
yeah.
when we were in college, it was Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
AIM.
Yep.
And so you had ways, especially once Facebook rolled around, you stayed connected with everybody.
Absolutely.
I mean, the point of reunions was what the point of them are, is to see people you haven't seen or connected with for a super long time, right?
Yeah.
Right now, you go on Instagram right now, I can tell you what 50 people I went to high school are doing.
Right. And like,
it's something with their children. I mean, we know everything about them
right.
still. So it's a little bit different for, I think, our parents' generation and subsequent generations before that.
Four of my best friends are from high school, and I play golf with them or keep in contact.
Yeah. I got a text going today with
right.
my eight brothers.
Oh, yeah, same.
Yeah,
yeah
so
same.
It all comes together.
Yeah, and we don't...
We didn't really have a 15-year. I'm not sure why we didn't.
I don't know if we did either.
We did. We had a 10.
Where was it?
Guess where it was.
Interlochen.
No. Guess where... So our 10-year, it was Uptown. I'll give you a hint. It was Uptown.
Stella's?
Stella's.
Oh, I was going to say Bunny's Les Bunais, French bistro.
Les Bunais, isn't that at Tavern 23?
That's Bunny's, but my brother calls it Les Bunais as in the French bistro.
So that's why you might hear some songs from 2001 today. 2004 was your graduation year, Ryan, correct?
Yeah, that'll be on the list too today.
But if you really want to go down the rabbit hole or the foxhole here and just waste like an hour
in
graduationplaylist.com, the iHeartRadio app, Common Antenna, we're talking about it yesterday, and you type in your graduation year and all of a sudden you are transported back in time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so
I'm doing that on the way home.
It was ridiculous. I was at my desk for like 40 minutes not talking to anybody, just gently sobbing into my keyboard listening to songs from high school.
Do they have Graduation by Vitamin C? Well, that's a heave cry.
I think that's
04.
All encompassing.
No, I think that's 01.
Oh, yeah. Really?
That's a horrible song.
We'll find it. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, graduation play. Yeah, but my 10 year was at Stella's.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which is where anybody that was in town, that was like a regular Saturday night.
That's where we were anyway.
Yeah, back in the old days. So.
Oh, yeah.
But the 20, man, I didn't even really think about that. The 20-year reunion, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's 3 years from now. I mean, the Ryan Keatings of the world, his 20-year high school reunion is this year.
God. We had a good run.
Yeah.
We really did.
Yeah.
So anyway. Graduationplaylist.com.
I can't wait.
We'll do some heave cries here in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal story today. You subscriber?
I follow it on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't like it on Twitter.
Well, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to
be careful. Have you ever inadvertently liked anything on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Wall Street Journal related?
Maybe a Lisa Ann picture.
There's a lot of Paul Lamberts running around out there.
A lot of Paul Lamberts where if you go on their likes, you see that Meat Sauce One also liked it.
Yeah, so, he's enjoying this.
Jason Tatum plays for the Boston Celtics. He's doing pretty well right now. He's 20 years old, and he's playing really well. Was he like the third overall pick a couple of years ago, fourth overall pick a couple of years ago? And you know, guys like him and Jaylen Brown and all these kids are really taking the league by storm at this point, right? We talked about them last segment. They're probably going to be in the NBA Finals a year or two ahead of schedule, given that Kyrie's out and Hayward's out. We talked about that. One of the reasons that's being surmised by this writer, Ben Cohen, Wall Street Journal, that he's this good this young is because he grew up with YouTube.
Okay.
And any player in the history of the game that he wanted to watch and study, all his high school coach or AAU coach had to tell him was, why don't you go YouTube Kobe?
Oh, wow.
And he would sit there and he would watch. Here's what he says. He goes, not just watching the dunks, but actually trying to learn. I think I learned a lot at a very young age. I've been watching Kobe since I can remember. And he studied game tape of Kobe Bryant on YouTube. Now, this will make you feel old. We just talked about the 20-year reunions that are coming up in 3 years. Jason Tatum was 7 years old when YouTube was invented.
I was here.
Yeah,
I was an intern.
Me too.
When we first stumbled across it.
100% right, and we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And Tatum was 7 years old. So there are, you know, teenagers right now.
Wow.
Who have no world without YouTube, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously, there's people in our audience that don't. But he said his coach, his high school coach, Justin Tatum, and it's also his dad, would say, YouTube this guy. And then his son would go over there and he would watch. So my question is, are you a great YouTube mind?
Yeah. I love YouTube.
Does Andrew Wiggins have a password?
I would hope.
Can we get Andrew Wiggins onto YouTube and have him YouTube Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Michael Jordan?
Right.
Anybody with a pulse?
Yeah. Charles Barkley.
For 37, 40 minutes a night, whatever it is. But I found this was fascinating. And I'm wondering, for people that have kids out there, like Common's kid, he talked about he put together, BBP, like put together his own YouTube channel of like just his moves and things like that. I don't think he has it anymore. I think he took it down. But is that the new wave? Is that what everybody does now? For whatever your profession is, it's how I get stuff done around the house. If something breaks and my wife can't fix it or she's busy or she's gone, I immediately YouTube like how to do something and I find out exactly how to do it. Is that how we all solve problems now in 2018?
Yeah, anytime I have an issue, I usually just call my buddy Randy.
Yeah, or your dad.
Or my dad, yeah. But yeah, you can YouTube anything. Me, of all people, granted, I missed one massive part, but a friend of mine helped me. I changed the battery in a car because of YouTube. Because of YouTube.
What was the massive part that you missed?
I didn't bolt it all the way in.
Okay.
So when I went up to get it, I think I got I forgot what I had to go do, but I had to go get an oil change. My buddy at Youngstead's was like,
the battery's hanging by a thread.
Yeah, the guy's like, you know what's in there? I'm like, what? He's like, the wrench. I'm like, whoopsie. But yeah, but I did it because of YouTube. Here's the problem with Wiggins, though. Now he's getting paid. What would motivate him now?
You just have to hope that he has some shred of self-awareness, really, and that the money at some point just gets boring to him, and it's, well, what do I want to do with myself? You're right. I agree totally.
That's what's going to motivate him now?
That's the biggest worry. Well, but you're finally getting paid here.
Yeah.
And you still work harder than you ever have.
Yeah, true. I'm
but you
now.
Have some self-awareness, I guess. Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins is the meat sauce of the NBA. Ultra-talented, but super lazy. And I just call myself ultra talented, but I'm super lazy, just like he is. He just coasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem with
him. Carl and Butler are Corey and Hockey.
Okay.
And then Andrew.
Who's who?
Hockey or Corey is Butler and Carl is Hockey.
Okay.
And I'm Andrew Wiggins, who just kind of floats off the two of them. And when they need some kind of rebound or easily throw an alley oop to me, I'll put it in. Any of the dirty work, I'm not doing that. So, see?
Makes you are sense. The Andrew Wiggins of the
I
College
am.
Chair Morning Show.
Yeah, and he's the meat sauce of the Timberwolves.
Did you just sign a max deal?
Maybe.
You're doing all right. Living downtown, hammer-made shirts.
Yeah.
You don't have to change the battery of your own car
anymore. No, not anymore.
But that is the issue is, Ryan and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, the most frustrating part about the Wiggins deal is, like, the Houston series, especially, was a game 3 where he went nuts. Like, it looks so easy for him at times when he's going crazy like that and scoring 25 points or whatever it is. It looks so effortless that you get madder at him for, like, not even applying that kind of effort.
Yeah.
You know, you just go, what you just did there was so, it looked so easy for you. I'm sure it was difficult. I'm sure athletically it was impossible. But you can't just give us anywhere close to that, like,
at all.
70% of the time, 80% of the time. And that's why I get frustrated, because it just looks so easy for him sometimes. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe it is too easy for him, and mentally it's just not that interesting. I don't know.
Well, you guys have AP, or I still call him AP guy.
Yeah, he'll always be AP guy.
You guys have him on every Monday. What's his synopsis on this?
Basically what ours is.
Are they going to move him?
Well, trade him to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. That would be enticing.
But then you just get an expensive Andrew Wiggins. That's what I asked him that on Saturdays.
Oh, did you?
Noon to 2, Saturdays.
Is that show still on?
Kind of.
When Chad Abbott
Or when I'm not, playing
doing
golf.
Something.
Yeah. But, he just said you basically would just get an expensive Andrew Wiggins, because DeRozan's got to make $30 million a year.
Yeah, something like that.
So
we could look it up.
How do you make that work?
Him that is their problem.
Him and Teague?
They got a lot of salary cap issues.
I try and see, PA talked about it this morning, I try and get Kyrie from Boston. That's what I try and do.
Well, Why not just try to get LeBron to come here? Try to get Kyrie from Boston. Well, yeah, that sounds good.
They don't need him.
They don't need him.
Who's their point guard?
I don't know.
Right. They don't need him.
I think he'd be helpful.
Okay. I just heard PA said it, and I
let's try to get Kyrie. Well, that's a great, yeah, I agree. It's a great idea. Yeah. We should try to get Kyrie from Boston.
Right.
It's a great, I don't think it's going to happen. I think
we
might want to have a plan.
NBA
B.
trades are sweet.
Yeah.
I love NBA trades.
Oh, well, we had a good one here last summer.
I hope they do it again.
And we got Jimmy Butler. When we continue here on the Todd Turnpike, or Turnpike,
yeah,
with Meat Sauce Paul Lambert and Ryan Donaldson here, guards you filling in for Barrero, we'll find out how many of the top 20 drunkest cities of America Meat Sauce has been drunk in. I probably have joined him on a time or two in that one.
It's Justin Guard in for Barrero on The Fan.
Hang with the fans, Eric Nordquist at the grand opening of Overton's in Rogers, Minnesota on Friday from noon to 2 p.m. You can register in-store for a chance to win thousands of dollars in prizes or even a brand new 2018 fishing boat. See you on Friday at Overton's.
Janet Jackson bringing us back to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Guardsy in for Dan today. Meat Sauce hanging out. Ryan Donaldson hanging out. We are playing bumper music today from the iHeartRadio app playlists of your graduation year. If you go to graduationplaylist.com, type in your graduation year, you will have basically every song that was popular during your graduation year at your disposal. It's a great way to go down memory lane, as Dark Star would say. And
whoa,
Janet Jackson, all for you. 2001. It's her birthday today, I believe.
She just turned 52 today.
52. So happy birthday, Janet Jackson. Twins game still going on, by the way. We are now at 3 hours and 30 minutes. So,
and we're not even in the ninth inning
we're
yet.
We're not even in the ninth inning. They trail 7-5. They do have runners at second and third right now.
Tying a runner at second.
Yeah, wild pitch just brought one in.
All right, so we might still make some noise here. Hopefully they'll have this one done by dusk, because this game has been going on forever. This has gotten a lot of play on social media, Sauce, and at some point we will tackle the Laurel versus Yanni, or Laurel versus Yanni controversy that, speaking of lost productivity, has everybody at every office, I can imagine, just stopping and listening to Laurel versus Yanni. It's become the new blue or white dress deal from a couple of years ago. But this has gotten a lot of buzz here in the last couple of days, no pun intended. And really, not surprising, the USA Today did a study on the drunkest cities in America.
Yeah, we did this morning.
I believe that.
This is unbelievable.
It is, but it's not. The drunkest 20 cities and then the driest 20 cities.
Okay.
I want to go through, before we kind of talk more broadly about some of the cities and some of the parts of the country that are represented on this list. And Ryan, you jump in on this too. We'll go through the top 20 drunkest cities in America, starting from 20. Tell us if you've been drunk there.
Of course.
Okay. We'll start with you, Sauce, go to Ryan, and end up with me. Starting with Milwaukee.
I'm going over the 4th of July weekend, and I think that's one of the cities I've been the drunkest in.
So, yes.
I got family in Milwaukee, yes.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Simple yes would have sufficed.
Going to the Brewers game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Ryan?
I'm a no. I haven't been to Milwaukee before.
You've never been to Milwaukee?
Underrated.
Really?
Underrated.
Milwaukee's a great town.
Milwaukee way.
I don't understand why people hate on Milwaukee. Yeah. Milwaukee is outstanding.
Outstanding food, outstanding people.
Yeah.
The people are great.
Really cool.
Yeah, great. And Miller Park is a great time.
People like to rip on that, too, and because it looks like an airplane hangar, and it's not aesthetically pleasing. Shut up.
Right. Shut up is right.
Stop with your top five ballparks and skylines. It's a fine place to watch baseball. Just relax, you baseball purist. It looks fine.
The stories a stadium could tell.
And the tailgating is awesome. It's a great time. So, a lot of time on number 20, but Milwaukee, you need to go to Milwaukee, dude. Milwaukee's fun.
A couple of my root buddies lived there for a couple of years, so I can attest that there was a lot of drinking that went on.
Anybody tells you it looks like an airplane hangar or doesn't look right, say thanks, Frank Lloyd Wright.
Good Google there. That was very quick. I think I heard your fingers.
Yeah,
okay. Your Rosie's magic fingers. Ames, Iowa is number 19. Ames, Iowa. Sauce, have you ever been drunk in Ames?
No, I've not.
Ryan?
I'm a no. Haven't been.
I don't think I've ever been drunk in Ames. We're getting to another one where I definitely have been. More on that later. Went to an NSYNC concert when I was in college in Ames.
Wow.
It was in Iowa City. I was in Iowa City. I drove over to go see NSYNC at Hilton Coliseum. But I was not drunk that night. So, no in Ames. Disappointing. Fairbanks, Alaska. Sauce?
I've never been to Alaska.
Ryan?
Negative.
Me too. We're out on Fairbanks. Lincoln, Nebraska. Sauce?
No.
Ryan?
Haven't been.
You need to go other places besides Mexico and Tucson, Arizona.
And Golden Valley.
There's a lot of nice places in the upper Midwest.
There's going to be a theme here for me.
The Gophers have played, I think, 3 times in Lincoln, Nebraska over the years, so I have been drunk in Lincoln 3 times. Watertown, Fort Drum, New York is number 16.
No, what do we look like? Tim Hyde?
Ryan?
No.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
Hyde.
Sheboygan is number 15. That, again, is Wisconsin.
Probably. I mean, how do I say this?
Weren't you there with the Polka King in the Midwest one time?
Yeah, we were, and we were driving this. It's really weird. We met this lady at an airport, and she was trying to get home to her son.
It was a tragic situation, if I remember right.
We offered to give her a ride home, and we rode in the back of a U-Haul, and she got home just in time on Christmas Day, and I was hammered the whole time.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Anything in Sheboygan?
Was John Candy driving?
That's the bit, Ryan.
Way to ruin it, Ryan.
I don't get it.
yes.
No, I haven't.
To answer your question, no, John Candy was not driving.
Nice to see you, Carl.
He was in the truck.
Gotcha.
Playing polka.
Gotcha.
That was what we were doing.
Brilliant.
Way to pick up on that.
Yeah.
Sheboygan, have you drank there?
I have not. I've
Me
driven
neither.
Through there, but I was sober.
Dubuque, Iowa? Is number 14.
I think so. I've been...
What's with all the uncertainty? Don't you know where you've been?
Do you know how blackout drunk I get?
In Dubuque, Iowa?
Probably. Yeah,
you're at Field of Dreams and you just walk
like
there?
8 texts during this, you say to all my buddies are like, I have.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dubuque, Ryan? No, you've never been there either, I'm sure.
You can just skip me because I haven't been anywhere,
okay. Iowa City, Iowa is number 13.
Yes.
Ryan?
Nope.
only for 18 straight months.
Yeah.
When I was a student there.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah,
sorry. Coach Houghton.
Right.
Sorry, everybody that relied on me.
Right.
Maybe not all 18 months, but Iowa City, Iowa, yes, that's number 13. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, which I think is near the Dells. That pops in at number 12.
100%.
100%.
100%.
You've been drunk in Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Never been to Fond du Lac.
How about this one?
Do you go anywhere?
I've never been to Fond du Lac either. How about this one? This is interesting, and I believe, I'm guessing the Nordquist family has something to do with this. Mankato and North Mankato is number 11.
Yeah, I've been hammered there.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan?
Finally, we have a winner on our list.
What brought you to Mankato?
Vikings training camp.
Of course.
Obviously.
So you were drunk by breakfast because you and your Rue buddies drove down there.
Yeah, we went for morning practice, had a nice little lunch, and then went and got hammered.
Not embarrassing at all. Mankato's number 11. Number 10, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Spent a lot of time in La Crosse?
Well, a lot of my buddies went to, isn't there a school in La Crosse?
It's University of Wisconsin La Crosse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hard to remember.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been hammered there, yeah.
Ryan?
I played La Crosse in high school, never been.
Nobody asked. Did you go to Kansas City Chiefs training camp when it used to be in La Crosse?
Right.
To go watch, you know, Derek Williams play?
If they had a joint practice or scrimmage against the Vikings, I would have gone.
Wausau, Wisconsin.
100% yes.
Really?
Yeah.
On your way to Green Bay?
Because
that's on the way to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Ryan?
If it's on the way to Green Bay, the answer is probably yes.
We'll get to that in a second. Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Yeah.
Duh. When have you been to Grand Forks?
Isn't that, what school's up there?
University of North Dakota.
Yeah.
It's in Grand Forks.
Yeah. Then I've been hammered up there.
Okay. At the University of North Dakota.
It's one of the first times I think I got hammered.
Is that right?
Yeah, at 21.
You ever been to North Dakota, Ryan? Grand Forks?
I have not.
We did a show up there back in the old 9 to noon days at the Long Haul Truck Stop. It was always one of the cooler places to do the show. And then Chad Kaz and I stayed because I had some buddies that were up there, some of my Rube buddies, and they served beer at Ralph Engelstead in 32-ounce portions.
That sounds amazing.
And we had really good seats, and it's a miracle we got back up to the concourse.
Ugh.
We'll just leave it at that. Yeah, Apologies to the iHeartRadio cluster in Grand Forks for the tickets. Hopefully we didn't embarrass you too much. So that is number 8, Grand Forks. If you're sensing a theme.
Yeah, there is a theme.
It's a remarkable theme. Missoula, Montana.
Yes.
Yes? Yeah. You've been to Missoula?
Yeah, I've been, yeah.
Fly
fishing? No.
Ryan?
I have only been to Montana once. It was not Missoula. Never heard of it.
Great story. Never been to Missoula
Thanks,
either.
Thanks, Yelp.
Oshkosh.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
100%.
Home of the Division III World Series.
Yeah,
I went there twice to watch my buddy Goldstein play for Trinity.
I think about every Wisconsin city I've been drunk in.
All of them?
Is East Troy on there where Alpine Valley is? I've been hammered there.
So far, I do not see East Troy.
Okay.
Oshkosh, Ryan?
Negative.
Me? Yes. Fargo? Duh.
Duh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan?
Never been to Fargo.
Great.
Don't get out of the Twin Cities, I guess.
Been to Fargo?
Well, you guys do all the, you know, on-site shows where I'm back here at the station pushing buttons.
Well, yeah, that's not the only time you can go to Fargo is when you're working in radio.
Well,
I don't know. Really easy drive. It's 3 hours and 15 minutes.
I forget all of your Todd buddies go to Ivy League schools.
Madison, Wisconsin is number 4.
Oh, Halloween?
Yeah.
I'll tell you two things.
I
love you and I hate Wisconsin.
Unbelievable Todd Turnpike exit there. Madison, Halloween, you went to it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a big Todd ratio
Just a PSA, if you're 21, if you're in college,
if you're a woman,
you have to go to a Madison Halloween. I don't know if it's.
See,
is what
I don't think so.
Be.
I think that's overrated. That's Todd Central.
Yeah.
No, it's Todd Central.
We were all Todd's and we were 20.
No, see, I.
21?
Go the next weekend. I went the next weekend and had a hell of a time.
Oh, we've had.
I know.
I went 2 years in a row.
That's way too mythic for me.
We went
Wisconsin, the Madison Halloween. Way too mythic.
We were at my buddy Luke, Sean, and I were at the. Michigan State or Michigan Ohio State where Braylon Edwards caught that touchdown on the back of the end zone to win it?
What do I look like, Kirk Herbstreit?
Well, you know a lot about college football.
Yeah.
We were at that game and then drove back to Madison from Ann Arbor and
for Halloween.
Oh yeah.
What was your costume?
I forgot. It was probably the McDonald's fries. That was always my go-to because it worked for a bigger person. But you could just put it on top of you.
It was wider.
It always fit.
How many years were you the McDonald's fries?
Oh, I think every year till I was told I couldn't be.
Do you still have that costume?
Somewhere else have a hot dog costume somewhere.
Do you really?
Same thing. You just slide it on top.
What year for high school did you go as Jason Williams with no undershirt?
That's my senior.
I've seen that
party.
Picture floating around.
That's my buddy Randy's jersey, and I wore it once and stretched it out so bad. I don't think he ever wanted it back.
Have you ever been to a Madison, Ryan?
I have. My freshman year, I did the Halloween bit.
Of course. God, that is so predictable.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
I know.
So predictable. Unbelievable.
I was Wayne. My buddy was Garth.
See, I'm off on the Todd Turnpike. Pike here. You guys are riding to Madison on that one alone for Halloween.
We're still in the express lane, because there's two of us in the car.
You're in the HOV.
We got out of the havoc, out of the chaos down on the street, you know, down in Madison. We got up on the 9th floor, and we're watching cops kind of come with their riot gear, tear gassing everybody, and the tear gas got up through the vents on the 9th floor to the point where we were like coughing in the dorm room.
Shocking. One of your buddies at a penthouse in college.
Yeah, hard to believe. Really
Statesider.
Yeah,
Statesider.
I know the
Statesider.
Yeah,
everybody
I knew some
that.
People in the Statesider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Appleton, Wisconsin is number 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's where you stay when you go to a Green Bay Packers game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where the D3 World Series is, Appleton.
It'd be interesting to run Nordo through this list.
Oh, he's 100% all of them.
He's 12 for 12.
100%. Yeah. I think he told a story one time where he had to drive through Missoula, Montana, and he like broke somebody's trailer. It's not a good story.
What?
Anything in Appleton, Ryan?
Nope, never.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Eau Claire? I don't think for me. No, I'm a no.
Yeah. I've always driven through Eau Claire. I don't know that I've ever stopped.
I sound like a raging alcoholic.
When we come back, we will give you the number one drunkest city in America, all the details. It really shouldn't be any surprise. Where it is, but let's just say it's gotten a lot of attention, and let's just say, yes, I have been drunk there multiple times.
JG in for Barrero on The Fan.
Let me tell you what I wanna do. Let me show you that I've been to you. Wanna freak, wanna ride with you. Wanna taste, wanna put my lips all over you. Can't get enough of you. Always thinking of you. So sweet, I can't forget. So good, girl, you make me sweat. What I'm talking about, bitches and cream. Oh,
it's really 'cause you know that I'm a dream.
That's right.
Even freaking out, I'm really in the dream. It's even better when it's with ice cream.
Know what I mean? Peaches and cream.
I need it 'cause you know that I'm a fiend. Getting freaking out, I'm really in the dream.
Was never a huge peaches and cream guy, although you kind of had to pretend to because it was one of the most popular songs of 2001. This from the graduationplaylist.com playlist on iHeartRadio. You can go to graduationplaylist.com, type in your graduation year, and get all the songs that were popular in that year. Your final year of high school, perhaps, if you're like Sauce and Me, your glory days. Welcome back to the Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. Guards you in for Dan today, Ryan here as well. And Meat Sauce Paul Lambert for one more segment. We were just reviewing, if you're just joining us, the USA Today study about the 20 drunkest towns in America. And if you missed all of them, basically just name a town in Wisconsin. Odds are it probably was on the list.
Right.
Number one, I think needs no explanation, but it is Green Bay, Wisconsin. So if you're doing the math, out of 20, 10 of them are in Wisconsin. And the top four are also from Wisconsin. The percentage of adults drinking to excess is 26.5%. Ooh, this is grim. Did you guys read this morning about the deaths involving alcohol?
No, I didn't read
that. That's not a good... I mean, I get it's a stat. I mean, that takes the fun out of this list completely. But that's one of their criteria, USA Today. It's percentage of adults drinking to excess, percentage of driving deaths involving alcohol. Rosie.
Yikes.
Estimated number of restaurants and bars, and then median household income. Those are kind of the...
That's aggressive.
The benchmarks there. I'm just going to do two out of those four. Percentage of adults drinking to excess is 26.5%, and the estimated number of restaurants and bars is 652. So for every 100,000 people in the town, there are 205 bars. So basically, one on every other block. And yeah. I think this goes without saying, because Ryan, I've been in the Lambeau Field parking lot with you. I know the answer. Sauce, I know you've been to Green Bay a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say most people in our audience have had a couple of pops in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I don't think there's a better football experience than maybe the Big House than Lambeau Field.
A Lambeau's way better than the Big House.
But
I think the Big House is terrible.
Oh, I love the Big House.
You just like saying the Big House, or do you like the Big House?
Well, I've been there multiple times.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, Lou Nanny.
Sorry, Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the Big House. That college atmosphere is
It's cool.
Have you been to Notre Dame?
Yes.
You've been to one of the greatest.
Yes, I was at Notre Dame USC when Matt Leinart was pushed into the end zone by Reggie Bush.
I think I'm going to do that this fall. Go to a Notre Dame football game.
Yeah, well, it's a Todd Central place. Well, you'd fit right in.
Well, yeah, I know a guy that'd get me a ticket.
He could get you a couple of tickets, probably sideline passes.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, maybe on the bye week.
Yeah.
So what grand conclusions do we draw from this? Because that's what everybody's now wondering. It's like, out of 20 towns that drink more than everybody, have more bars than everybody, 10 of them are in Wisconsin. The top four are from Wisconsin. And really, Minnesota's not absent from this list, and the bordering states aren't absent from this list. So what's the theory? Why do people drink so much here? Is it because it's cold? Are we bored? Do we not like doing things? Because we're also, like, Minnesota's a fit state. People say that it is. It's good states for work and business and all these things. So why is everybody in this part of the country, Sauce, drinking?
Well, because 6 months out of the year, you can't go anywhere. You have to stay inside. 6 months out of the year, you can't go out and do anything, so what do? You go to a bar and you drink. I like going out and playing golf, but there are a few things better than like a snowy Saturday afternoon where you just hold up in a bar and just start drinking. It's the best. Then you walk home in the snow. It's fun. Yeah, snow blizzard drinking is amazing.
And alcohol makes the winter more bearable.
Right.
It's not as cold to your... Yeah, it's not as cold on your walk home.
Yeah.
Do we think that's true, or do we just think we believe that?
No, you're inside a lot. What do you do when you're inside? You drink. You do.
You don't have to.
Well, no, but you mostly do. If I didn't have to get up like I do, I would probably drink more than I do, especially when it's cold out. You have nothing else to do, so you just drink. That would be my explanation. Plus, what else do you have to do in Green Bay when football isn't going on?
Well, that's another part of this. Pretty good sports towns as well. Like, Green Bay's a good sports town.
Yeah.
Madison's a good sports town. You know, you got teams to follow. Fargo, obviously, with the Bison
Missoula,
up there.
Missoula, great sports town.
I've heard it's an unbelievable sports town. So there's a heavy sports presence. Iowa City, Ames, a lot of towns like that. Maybe that's the answer. The only thing to do is sports. What goes with sports? A lot of drinking. Enough said?
Right, yeah.
I guess so. David has been drunk in 8 of the top 20 cities. Carl tells us that Madison Halloween is terrible now. The local politicians have ruined it.
Well, yeah.
And somebody to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox booth at KFAN.com said, so ironic listening to the Cake Eater describe Madison, which is 50% Edina Hornets, as a bunch of Todds.
Yeah, it's probably right. Yeah, a lot of skippers there as well.
Yeah, we're self-aware. Yeah. We understand. Yeah. We know of what we speak.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
We have. Who better to know a Todd than a Todd?
Right. I was in your neck of the woods yesterday. It's full of Todds.
Yeah, a lot of Todds. Where were you?
Tons.
Galleria?
No, just in Edina.
Doing what?
Playing golf. Yeah. One of the local golf courses.
Yeah.
Tons of Todds.
The other common denominator is that there are a lot of universities in a lot of these towns. Like we mentioned, North Dakota,
yeah.
Grand Forks, NDSU, Fargo, Iowa State is Ames.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge college towns help those numbers.
I would think so. So anyway, congratulations to basically the entire state of Wisconsin for playing
good 100%. I'm proud of all of you.
To task.
Yeah, absolutely.
4:30, Pat Micheletti is going to join us. 5:15, it will be Pat Kessler. We've got the top five at five as well. Guards in for Barrero today. Really, this is the A topic, not just on, this is the A topic in the world.
In
right
the
now.
World.
Is it fair to say that what we're about to discuss has taken over not just Minneapolis, not just Minnesota, not just the upper Midwest, not just the country, but the world?
It's absolutely. Sweeping everywhere. Yes.
And you have to have. And I've never met, like, it's so, there's not even like a gray area on what team you're going to be on when it comes to this. And I'm talking, of course, of the Yanni or Laurel debate. And this apparently started when a high school student, right, posted this on Reddit, and then it got posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where there was a basically vocabulary.com page with a pronunciation guide. We use those from time to time here when we don't know how to pronounce something. And they were typing in a word, and from this word sparked a remarkable debate. First of all, let's hear the word.
Laurel. Laurel.
What's it say, Sauce?
Laurel.
What's it say, Ryan?
I heard Laurel that time.
I also heard Laurel. But apparently, other people are hearing Yanni or Yanny. Because I don't think I've heard it, so I don't hear it that way. So I don't know what it's supposed to sound like. Is it Yanni or Yanny?
Laurel.
That's the main version,
so
right?
The first time I heard this, which was last night, I heard Yanny.
What?
Yanny.
How do you hear Yanny?
Exactly, because now all I hear is Laurel. And it's not even close. I don't even hear a hint of Yanny.
But you asked Mike Musselman earlier before the show. All he hears is Yanny, and he can't be swayed off of that opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing with Lieber.
Lieber said, I saw his hashtag earlier today. And the theory is, depending on basically if your ears are messed up or not, that you're going to hear what you hear, right? It has to do with the different pitches and
the
how
frequency.
Your the frequency and how your ear translates all of that. But if we go percentages, and I saw on a morning TV show today, it was like 51-49, Laurel and Yanny.
That's really insane. That's crazy.
But it tells you, I mean, everybody hears things differently, apparently.
Now, there are a lot of Corey Cove-type people in the world, even though this morning he heard Laurel. You're going to get a lot of people that are like him, where they're going to hear Laurel, but they're going to say they heard Yanny because they want to be different.
They want to be different and contrarian.
Right. Yes.
But I don't think, given the emotion that is behind it when you tell somebody what you hear, like Musk today was convinced. He just said, there's no way. I have no idea how you guys hear Laurel. It makes no sense. Now, what did you do? There's a couple of other ones, right, Ryan, with the frequencies?
Right. So if you pitch it down like 30%, you can kind of hear it more as one thing. And if you pitch it up 30%, you hear it more as the other.
All right. Let's go down first.
We'll go down first. Here's the down pitch.
Yanny. Yanny.
Now there I hear Yanny.
Yeah, I hear Yanny. Yeah.
I hear Yanny there.
And it's weird because I almost hear Yaley. Like somebody who went to Yale.
That's not an option. Yaley is not.
But I heard Yaley
is not in this debate.
I didn't hear Yanny. I heard Yaley.
Hit it again.
All right, hang on. I gotta get. I was up for the other one.
Yanny. Yanny.
Yanny.
Yeah, I hear Yaley.
I hear Yanny.
No,
there.
No one hears Yaley.
Don't try to insert yourself. Don't try to add something to the debate.
The next one you're gonna say, I hear Lacoste.
I hear Toomey.
Yeah, I hear Louis Vuitton.
Toomey. All right, now pitch it up. 30%.
Here's the pitch up.
Laurel.
That's Laurel.
Laurel.
I only hear Laurel.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% Laurel.
The actual word is supposed to be Laurel, right?
Laurel.
The word that was typed into vocabulary.com or pronunciation.com was Laurel.
Correct.
But it just depends on your pitch on what you hear. But it's remarkable, like all over the office today, that's what everybody was talking about. In the sales pit, promotions pit, back in our pit, people were coming over, and the debates were furious.
Heated debates.
You guys had one.
Well, yeah, all of us heard, well, we'll have Lieber on tomorrow, and we'll get his take on it. But all of us heard Laurel. All of us. I don't think a single person on the show today heard Yanny or, what did you say, Yaley?
Yaley. Well, just...
Well, we can ignore Yaley.
Let's keep Yaley out of this. Sweeney's guy to the Bradshaw and Brown inbox booth at KFAN.com. When I heard the soundbite in my car, it definitely said Laurel. I'm listening on my headphones right now. It sounds like Yanny. I think it also might have to do with the device that you're listening to, which also might affect the pitch, might affect the frequency, might affect a certain number of things. But in case you're trying to figure out a way to kill, you know, 15, 20 minutes today, and you've somehow missed this, this is what's sweeping the nation.
My boy Rob just texted me and said, on this show I heard Yanny. This morning on the power trip, I heard Laurel.
When I heard Yanny earlier this morning, when I heard it the first time, and then the next, since then, I've heard Laurel.
Okay, here's the one that you guys played from this morning, Sauce, because I dumped in my own soundbite, so here's the one from this morning.
Laurel.
Yeah, same thing.
That's Laurel.
Laurel.
I'm still hearing
that's,
Laurel.
That's Laurel. You didn't hear Yaley?
I'm hearing Yaley.
And here's the one that I dumped in.
Laurel. Laurel.
So those are both the same.
Can I ask like where this came from?
Well, I think the kids, when they were putting together their project or whatever, they started playing it, and I think somebody said, what is this Yanny thing that you're talking about? And the kids said, what do you mean? It's Laurel. So I think there was an original disagreement between the first people that heard it.
People are weird.
So then they put it on social media, and obviously it's picked up nothing but steam since then. Booth at KFAN.com is the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. What do you hear? We'll do an informal poll. You can tweet me at JGKFAN as people already have done. Yaley, please, is not an option.
Okay,
fine. Let's not muddy the waters. Let's just keep things low. Yanny, Laurel, which team are you on? And you've got to pick a side. You can't go, I kind of hear Laurel, but I might hear Yanny.
Now everyone who heard it this morning is now saying they hear Yanny, who heard Laurel this morning.
This is so weird, because I heard Yanny last night, and now I hear nothing but Laurel.
This is some kind of, like, Big Brother thing. There's some subliminal messages here.
You think Zuckerberg's behind it?
No.
It's very possible that he is.
No. I think Yaley's behind it.
Yeah, Theo Epstein.
I heard
Yaley.
No, you didn't.
Kind of my drop-in.
Yeah.
Booth at KFAN.com. Sauce, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, brother, I gotta go to Target.
Appreciate you, man. Bye. Do you do a bit on that?
Yeah, it's not very good.
Oh, do you close your comedy show with it?
No.
Comedy dates coming up we can help you plug for hanging out?
No, not that I know of.
Not yet?
But, I'll probably tweet about it.
We'll look forward to it.
At
MeatSauce1. Thank you. He's Paul Lambert. Ryan Donaldson here as well. Pat Micheletti will join about 20 minutes from now.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
You're listening to Justin Gard in for Dan Barrero on The Fan.
And programming on The Fan today brought to you in part by Prism Research.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah. She was checking up on me from the game. She was singing in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Okay. Conversation got heavy. Hey. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. Guardsy in for Dan today. He will be back tomorrow. Dr. Dan's inbox will be open tomorrow, thanks to Prism Research, who's bringing you this segment as well, as Ryan just said. Email me, jg@kfan.com, to get your Dr. Dan's inbox submissions. We will do that at 4:30 tomorrow. Maybe Russo Radio tomorrow. Maybe he'll do Friday. Maybe Lavelle on Friday as well. Pat Migliotti is going to join in about 10 minutes. Pat Kessler will join at 5:15 right after the top five at five. Really a good day for Dan to be off because I doubt he would have the cojones to tackle a topic like this. Even though he loves to, he doesn't shy away from much, but I feel him getting awful squeamish on this one. I just don't know if he has the courage. Maybe we'll ask him tomorrow what he hears, but the emails to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox, as well as my Twitter handle, JGKFAN, are remarkably split. It is amazing that something that is so obvious for almost everybody, there's a few people in there that say, I can hear both. If you ask me to hear both, I can hear both a little bit, but you've got people that say, I can't even force myself to hear Laurel. That's Steve. I've listened multiple times on multiple devices. Dan hears Laurel. Terrence says 100% Yanny. A lot of people, Ryan, at booth@kfan.com, apologies to you, are also hearing Yaley.
Is that right?
Is that the lower pitch one?
Let's find out.
Yaley.
Yeah.
A lot of people are hearing Yaley. I got a couple of text messages there. So we're Sauce apologizes as well.
Thank you, Sauce.
Although that's still not an option. This is Yanny versus Laurel.
I'm with you there.
Michael says, in the power trip, I hear Laurel. On Bumper to Bumper, I hear Yanny. I'm questioning my very existence. I'm also going to the doctor to check for a brain tumor. That is Mike in Chaska. Adam says, you are blanking with me. I heard Laurel on the power trip this morning. Now it's Yanny. Now it's Laurel again. Bleep that. Pitch down, Yaley. There's another Laurel. There's another Yanny with the right to change minds. Really a remarkable... Like, it's just the stupidity of life.
It really is.
That just gets you through the day.
Yeah. I mean, this has taken over my world. I've gotten in a heated argument with just about everybody I know about it.
And you're taking it hard. Like, when Mus was saying he heard Yanny, you were, like, physically...
My hand still hurts from pounding my desk because I just couldn't believe it.
You were... And Nordo and I got into a completely different tangent where he just got super angry.
Well, it's all mental.
Out of nowhere. Nordo basically thinks you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And it's all power of the mind. Basically, which didn't make a lot of sense. I don't think we were speaking the same language there. So anyway, Yanny, Laurel, if it hasn't already taken over your life, it will, at least for the next 36 hours. Before we talk to Migliotti, some Gopher basketball news last night that I think is worth mentioning. We had Ryan James on the Cake Show on Sunday to talk about the big event that was going on at Wayzata High School with all the different recruits, you know, the team D1 Minnesota. The Adidas squad here, I've been around for a long time, put a lot of good players into colleges and all of that. Their team is loaded this year. They've got five or six different Gopher offers alone, which for an AAU team in Minnesota is pretty rare, especially the last handful of years, where one team, not only going to have a bunch of high major guys, but going to have Minnesota-specific offers, but that's the case with D1 Minnesota, and they played out in Wayzata. So we were talking Gopher recruiting, and we were talking about, you know, what they've done this offseason. Obviously, some things needed to get shaken up a little bit when Nate Mason is leaving. Reggie Lynch obviously isn't with the team anymore. Wouldn't have been anyway. He was going to be a senior. Jameer Harris transferred. Devontae Fitzgerald transferred. They were going to be in the market for at least a couple of transfers, maybe a high school signee or whatever, because they had some scholarships now available. And within the last couple of weeks, they've gotten a couple of transfers that are going to sit out for all intents and purposes. One for sure, Peyton Willis, who transferred from Vanderbilt, I believe, will absolutely sit out this year and be a junior in 2019. Then they got a kid from Pitt named Marcus Carr, who there's rumors and speculation that he could potentially be eligible as soon as this season because there was a coaching change at Pitt that necessitated his transfer. His coach got fired. Jeff Capel went in there. And the rumor is that the basketball coaches are trying to get the NCAA to allow players that transfer because of coaching changes to be eligible that next year and not have to sit.
I think that's fair.
I think it's fair. The people I talk to in the game don't think it's realistic for this season. They think it's something that will be implemented down the road, but they're not optimistic that all of a sudden in a week it's going to be known that, hey, Marcus Carr applied for a waiver. He got it. He's going to be eligible. So they used two of their three, I think, available scholarships on people that aren't going to be helping them this year. They filled the final hole last night with a grad transfer who will be eligible to play this year. His name is Brock Staal. Played for University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Seen as kind of an all-around guard, probably more of a shooting guard than a point guard, although I think the hope is that he can play a little bit of point. I know they are elated to get him. The connection there was Rob Jeter, one of the assistant coaches now with Pitino, who took over when Kamani Young and Ben Johnson left. He was the head coach at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee a couple of years ago, and so there was that connection there. But Brock Staal is here. Averaged 13 points there. Pretty good three-point shooter, from what I'm told. I'm not going to pretend that I know that. But from what I'm told, a pretty good three-point shooter, which obviously they desperately need. So the question that I've gotten a lot, especially the last couple of weeks, and I know Pitino got this question a little bit on the Gopher road trip, which was a week and change ago, is, man, is it the smartest thing in the world, if you're Richard Pitino, to take guys that aren't going to help you this year? And I think what that speaks to is the perception versus the reality of just how hot the seat is under Pitino. We're very volatile around here. We ebb and flow, especially Gopher fans. Gopher fans' emotions go from we want to fire the coach, which was, what, 2 years ago when they won 8 games, to, man, we better not lose Pitino. He might want to go take another job. At this point, before all the stuff happened in Louisville, it was he might go replace his dad at Louisville. We don't want to lose him. We ride this roller coaster, this Yanny Laurel roller coaster, Gopher fans do, like no fan base I've ever been around. So now we're back on, we've crested, we've gone down, we're now upside down again because people are going, wow, this even though there was a million different injuries and a million different reasons why they weren't very good last year, people are saying, well, Pitino might be on the hot seat. Is this really the year to take a couple of guys that aren't going to help you in 2018, 2019? How does that make any sense? Well, number one, it makes sense for a number of reasons. I'll give you a couple of them here before we talk to Micheletti. But number one, I don't think his seat is that hot. I think Mark Coyle likes him. I think he knows what happened last season. Are there things that need to be tweaked and changed? And absolutely, Richard Pitino would tell you that. He said as much immediately after the season about how can I plug holes, how can I fill more gaps, how can we make sure the bottom doesn't completely drop out when we lose a bunch of guys. Even though, to remind people, they lost 4 of their top 6 players for basically the entire Big Ten season. 4 of their top 6, okay? So a lot changed there from the team that was top 15 in November to the team that completely bottomed out. But also, what it tells you, when he's willing to take a couple of guys for 2019-2020, is he thinks, basically what I've said, this team is going to be all right this year. Yeah, Nate Mason is gone. We know Reggie Lynch is gone. The transfers, whatever. You know, you can argue that recruiting class, you know, with Isaiah and Jameer is kind of empty because we don't know what Isaiah is yet. He's really not what we thought he was, and now Jameer's not here. But they've also fortified it a little bit with some transfers that they've brought in. But the point is, if everybody's healthy, as Marcus Fuller writes in the Star Tribune in his blog today, your starting lineup is Isaiah Washington, Dupree McBrayer, Amir Coffey, Jordan Murphy, and Eric Curry. That's a pretty good starting five.
That's very solid.
That's a legitimate starting five in the Big Ten. That is not a bottom-out starting five in the Big Ten. At least, I don't think so. I think at least 4 of those guys were supposed to be important parts of this year's team, this last year's team. Dupree, Amir, Jordan, and Eric. That's a pretty good place to start. You've got a pretty good recruiting class, it seems, with Daniel Turo, Jarvis Amirsa, and Gabe Kulcher, all local kids. I think most people think the pecking order is Aturo, Amirsa, Kulcher. I think all 3 of them are going to get a legitimate crack to play, especially Aturo. I know they absolutely love him. But the point of everything I'm saying here is this team is, they're going to be all right. And now you add this Brock Staal kid who's going to give him a little bit of shooting, might even be a starter, depending on how healthy Dupree is, depending on if he can play point at all. And so the biggest question they have to answer is the point guard spot still. That's the one thing that is still left unaddressed. And it might be the most important. Maybe that will be the downfall to the 2018-19 season, that Isaiah Washington doesn't take a leap, which does need to be sizable because he did not have a good freshman year, certainly the year that we were all promised he would have. So he does need to take a significant step forward. And they need to find a way to back him up if that doesn't happen, or if, you know, you just need another guard. But you look at the players that they have returning, this could be a decent bridge year to, you know, a good year where Amir Coffey's your senior, Eric Curry's your junior, the freshman that you just brought in emerge a little bit, and then you're kind of back on stable footing. So I would just say, let's let this thing play out before we wonder, why is a coach on the hot seat taking all these guys that aren't going to help him? Well, two reasons. Number one, I don't think the seat's that hot unless they completely bottom out, which I don't think they will. And number two, the people in the program think they're going to be all right this year. They're willing to take a chance with guys that will help him down the road. And from what I've been told, Marcus Carr had a really good freshman year at Pitt in a pretty good league with some pretty good games against some pretty good competition. So only time will tell, but that's my two cents on that. Pat Micheletti after this.
It's Justin Gard in for Barrero on The Fan.
Welcome back to The Fan. Guards Ian for Dan today. Pat Micheletti waiting patiently on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care Hotline. Pat Kessler will join at 5:15, top five at 5 right around the corner. I can just see it now. Up there in Hibbing, Minnesota, Pat Micheletti rolling into Hibbing High School, maybe getting ready for a big game that night, listening to Eye of the Tiger, which Ryan tells me topped out on the charts at number 2 in the year 1982. Which is when Pat Micheletti graduated from high school, also coincidentally the year I was born. But Eye of the Tiger, thanks to graduationplaylist.com, which is our iHeartRadio graduation playlist, where you type in your year that you graduated, and you get basically every single song that was popular during that time. Pretty good song, your graduation year, Mr. Micheletti. Do you remember it?
Not bad. I think we played it sometime at the end of February in front of 4,000 people in our locker room getting ready to beat the Grand Rapids Indians in the section final game to make it to the state tournament.
I bet the place took to this song very, very well. Yeah, because even now, 35 years later, that song plays and people get moving.
Unbelievable.
I can't imagine when it's new.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we taking you back? I mean, we're trying to take people back with the graduationplaylist.com.
I had a little lump in my throat because that was such a memorable night that we won, and first time in 4 years that Grand Rapids did not beat us. And oh, yeah.
There you go. Because of one song.
All because of one song, sure.
I want to start, before we talk playoffs here, on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care Hotline with the story that popped through yesterday, I believe, that Jaromir Jagr is ready to play his 30th professional hockey season. Telling the website of the Czech Republic's Kladno Knights, he intends to return to the role of the player in 2018-19. He's 46 years old. He's the co-owner and team president. He played 24 seasons in the NHL, which is second all-time to Wayne Gretzky. Same in points, you know, career points, third overall in goals, played 6 more pro seasons overseas in the Czech Republic and the Russian Continental Hockey League. Apparently, he had some injuries last year for Calgary, and that was about it. But now he's saying, I'm back. What do we make of this guy?
Well, it's unbelievable. You can say, well, let's go back and look at Gordie Howe. Well, here's the difference. The game wasn't as fast. Everyone was afraid of Gordie Howe because if he came near him, you were going to get a stick in the throat or someone was going to jump you. So, you know, at 52 years of age, Gordie Howe could play. In this day and age where you don't have enforcers, where you don't, you know, where the game is so fast, everyone is so strong, it is absolutely amazing. Now, we had an American, Chris Chelios, who played, I think, until he was 45 also, for the Detroit Red Wings. And And, you know, he kept himself in great shape. But I'm telling you, it's quite the feat that Jaromir is doing. And what a player.
What do you remember? Because he was kind, I mean, this is so weird, but like if you play 30 years, I'm going back to the 80s. That's the Pat Micheletti era. I mean,
I played against him.
Yeah, right. So what do you remember when he came on?
Yeah, well, he had the long hair. He had the mullet, right?
Yeah.
And it was down, you know, under, I mean, it went, and his hair was long. But he was, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was, imagine him, Lemieux, Paul Coffey, Kevin Stevens, and you're trying to kill a penalty. Joe Mullen, put up the white flag. I remember being out there for like 20 seconds, and I'm like, okay, get the puck out and get off. So you don't get scored on. But, yeah, he was, I mean, what a career. I mean, the guy was just an amazing player and really still is, you know, at his age.
Nice luxury for Pittsburgh to just kind of roll in from the Lemieux era to the Jagr era, and then eventually to the Crosby era. And it's worked out pretty well for the Penguins, I'd say.
Yeah, you think? I mean, good God. They, you know, they had a couple lean years there. Where they were able to, you know, get the Crosbys of the world again and Malkin and, you know, whatever. But, Pittsburgh has certainly had a nice run.
It was an interesting day or a monumental day yesterday. I saw you tweet about this a little bit. We talked with Lou Nanny about it yesterday as well. And I guess I was kind of surprised, not surprised because I know this league started kind of out east. I'm talking about the National Women's Hockey League, which made news yesterday. That it is absorbing, I guess, for lack of a better term, the Whitecaps, which has been an amateur team here that was started a few years back, and it will be now the Whitecaps will be the fifth team in that league. And there's been a lot of speculation just on that league in general, you know, how it's going to be financially and all of those things, and can they afford to pay players and all of those things. But I would say for the health of their league, even though now there's different travel expenses and everything with involving the Whitecaps, this is a sign that people are willing to make this league work long term. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, shameless plug, we're going to have Brad Frost, the head coach of the University of Minnesota women's team, on our podcast tomorrow, Brandon Molesky and I, on Beyond the Pod. But to answer your question, I think it's wonderful. I think they deserve it. You know, we saw what the American team did at the Olympics and the growth of the game. I mean, these, you know, especially here in the state of Minnesota, we produce more Olympians, more great college players, and you know, they deserve a crack at it. Now, you know, it gets back to that, how are you going to fund it? And quite frankly, I think the I don't want to say the only way, because there's obviously other ways, but if they can get the National Hockey League involved, like the women did in the WNBA, right, and the NBA, if they get that commitment from them and find a way where it's going to work, then, you know, I think that would really be a shot in the arm for this league and for these women who deserve it. There's no question about it. They're terrific athletes. And one thing in watching the women play, and you even know in watching the WNBA and in all sports, their commitment level to their sport and their willingness to learn and be coached is by far greater than men's sports. It by far. It's just, you know, just watching them play and calling some of their games and just, you know, and talking to some of these athletes. It's, you know, they deserve their crack, and I'm happy that Minnesota's getting a team. I just hope, that it's not going to be a short-term thing for this league and that they can find their way.
Well, it makes sense with the cities that they're already in for what you said exactly. It doesn't even necessarily have to be full funding, but it can be helping somehow, right? I mean, when it's Boston, Buffalo, Connecticut, New York, and now Minnesota, you know, the WNBA is good on its own now. There are teams that are profitable on their own now, because that's the old comeback as well. It's subsidized by the NBA. Well, in some places, maybe, in a lot of places, not. So, but at the beginning of things, sometimes you do need that help and you do need that assistance. I think it would make total sense for all parties involved to try to figure that out, because as you tweeted yesterday, all hockey is helpful when it comes to growing the game, is it not?
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt. And you know what? And you know what? Just I beg people to go out and watch a game and watch these women play, because they can play. They're good. And so they deserve a chance. And again, we're going to get more people involved if this can succeed. And that is the most important thing, is helping them succeed and giving them opportunities. Listen, we have Division I programs throughout the country, and they're playing to get to the highest level and to be the best athletes that they can be, and reach a pinnacle where they can make money at it. And you know, I'm certainly behind this 100%. And like I said, I hope at some point in time they'll get some backing from the National Hockey League.
Pat Micheletti joining here on the Fan. Pat Kessler about 30 minutes from now. Guardsy in for Barrero. Pat's on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care Hotline. To the playoffs at hand last night,
yep.
Tampa Bay got into the series finally with a 4-2 victory over the Capitals. Obviously, they were going to be the old desperate team with that cliche, but what was working for them last night?
Well, let's look at this playoffs for a second. The road team actually has more wins than the home teams in the playoffs.
Hmm.
So it's crazy, right? Of any sport out there, this sport, you can go into another team's building and win. And we can't forget how good the Tampa Bay Lightning are. Listen, in game one, they were terrible. They were awful. And they were like that in game one, as we talked about in the Bruins series. And then Washington again took advantage of it and won game two. But Tampa is such a good team, that you can't, you can't count their team out at all. You've got four teams left and any one of the four could win it. And that's the beauty of this, tournament this year, is that, boy, you ask me who's going to win tonight? I have no idea, because Winnipeg plays great on the road too. In Nashville, they won in the Nashville series. They won three games on the road to win that series. So, they came back. Steven Stamkos was really good last night. Victor Hedman was really good, their defenseman. And Vasilevskiy, who wasn't real good in the first two games at home, was really good last night. So, you get good goaltending, you get your power play going, and you can win. So, it really is a toss-up.
How badly do you think Ovechkin needs to finish the deal for his legacy?
I think he does. He's been such a great player.
Right.
And people say, oh, they can't win with Ovechkin. Well, it takes more than one player, number one. But as we talked about, his leadership skills have improved tremendously, and you can just tell by the way the rest of the team is playing. Listen, to win a championship, you need so much luck. You need so much, good goaltending. You need special teams. You need to stay healthy. All of those things, need to click. You need to be riding a wave at the right time. But for him, I think if you just saw his expression when they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, that was like, boy, I got one of those out of the way. I beat Crosby
right, for
once. Finally, I beat Crosby. And so you think the momentum is going his way. Listen, again, this series is going to be a long series. But, yeah, I think, he's going to be a Hall of Famer regardless because he's just that good. But, yeah, for him, I think nothing would define him more than winning a Stanley Cup.
It would be the final cherry, so to speak, on a ridiculous career, right?
Yeah, he's done everything else. And sometimes I think he gets ridiculed for the wrong reasons. I think every team in the league would love to have him.
The Western Conference Final shifts to Vegas now for game three tonight. You will hear it right here on The Fan. Vegas, by the way, 29-10-2 at home during the regular season, 4-1 there in the postseason. The Winnipeg Jets, on the other hand, have outscored their opponents 21-9 in their last five playoff road games. I don't know if that counts because they played the Wild for a couple of those and did at least have one game here where they handled us here pretty well. But is this series playing out basically like you thought it would, given how both teams got here?
Yeah, I really did, because first of all, Vegas has no fear. They have no fear. They don't care where they are. They didn't play great in game one, but listen, people say, oh, boy, Vegas is done after game one. Look at how they did. Winnipeg just took it to them. This series is going to be over fast. Well, you know what? Give credit to the other team sometimes. Winnipeg came out and was absolutely terrific in game one. And then in game two, Vegas got their legs back. They started doing what they do well, and that's getting in on pucks, playing like gnats, going 100 miles an hour. They created turnovers in the neutral zone, and they capitalized on their transition game, and they were great. And so I expect them to be like that again tonight. Now you look at Winnipeg, and if you ask Paul Maurice, well, what changes do you have to make? He's going to say, guess what? We don't have to. The only thing that we have to do is get back to playing our game. And our game is kind of like Vegas's game. We play fast, we make plays, and we play hard. And so, you know, this series is a terrific, terrific series. I kind of give the edge to Vegas a little bit, strictly because you got Marc-Andre Fleury, who's won three cups in the net for, you know, Pittsburgh. And then you've got a guy like Connor Hellebuck, who is up for the Vezina Trophy, had a great year, 44 wins. But, you know, this is really his first crack at the playoffs. And I don't know, some of the goals he's let in, not great. They've kind of gone through them, and you don't want goals to go through you. You know, you want to either be, you know, beat cleanly, and you can say, okay, guy beat me. So I'm a little concerned in the Winnipeg net, but you know what? He won game seven in Nashville, too, so... It's a great series, just like the Eastern Conference one is. And tonight will be absolutely crazy in that building at T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, it'll be nuts
in Vegas.
You can hear that game and that energy, like I said, right here on the Fan. Where do you stand on now? People are mad. You know, this it's interesting how things change, Pat. During the season, everybody loved the Vegas story because it was out of nowhere, and you could get odds in October of like 1 billion to 1 that they were going to get this far and make a lot of money. And everybody loved the story during the regular season that, hey, it's this expansion team, it's this plucky upstart, guys that nobody wanted and needed opportunities, and look at them now, look at them now. Now, all of a sudden, as they get closer and closer to the pinnacle, people are saying, yeah, but they're not really a real expansion team. Like, I know expansion teams. Like, when the Wild came in and Carolina, all I know these expansion teams. And this isn't a real expansion team. We can't call them that. Why has the story changed now on how people are approaching Vegas? And what do you make of all of that?
Well, those same people that have said that also were the ones laughing at them when they were picking in the expansion draft. They're like, why are you picking that guy? Why are you picking that guy? Why did you trade for that guy? I can't believe you didn't take Eric Staal or, you know, I'm just using his name, you know, for example, okay? Some of the big names that were out there. Well, you know, they're kind of like have a little egg on their face right now. Yes, of course, they're an expansion team. And guess what? The rules are what they are. And they were the only team coming in. So, you know, Jed McBee and his staff did a magnificent job. They not only put together a good team, which a lot of people didn't think they were going to be very good once they were selected, but they also accumulated all these draft picks. So guess what? They can go after Erik Karlsson next year. They can go after a John Tavares if they want to. So kudos to them. And guess what? They just did a better job than all the pundits thought they did.
Enjoy the hockey tonight and the rest of the week. We'll talk to you Sunday, Pat. Thanks for taking the time
Absolutely.
Today.
Thanks for having me.
Pat Micheletti, graduate 1982, when Eye of the Tiger was one of the most popular songs. We learned that on graduationplaylist.com. Check it out for your high school year. We got Top 5 at 5 coming up next. Pat Kessler at 5:15.
JG in for Barrero on the Fan. And just in case you missed it, it's the top five sports talkers of the day. Now, it's time for Dan Barrero's Top 5 at 5, driven by Borton Volvo.
Dan out, Guardsy in, Pat Kessler in about 12 minutes before Ryan runs through the top five. Should remind people that as of a minute and 52 seconds ago, Bud Grant's garage sale is now open.
They is do that, that right?
They do that at the at Michigan Stadium at the Big House when I think it's 2 hours before game time, maybe 2.5 hours before game time. Everybody's tailgating or whatever. The voice of God gets on the speakers and it just goes all throughout Ann Arbor, and it'll say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the doors to Michigan Stadium are now open. Welcome to the big house.
Goosebump time.
It's all right.
No, not
I
as
think
much
it's overrated. Oh, okay. Yeah, Sauce thinks it's fine. I mean, it's a great college town.
Sure.
100,000 people in a building is remarkable just on its own. That part's kind of cool. But Bud Grant gives a speech like that as well before his garage sale opens, I'm told. And it just did. We were there yesterday. If you missed Dan's hour-plus-long conversation with the former Vikings coach, definitely worth checking out. It's on the iHeartRadio channel, the Barrero channel. Isolated, too, all by itself. You don't even have to listen to the rest of the show yesterday if you don't want to. I would, because Lou Nanny was in, too. It was good. But the Bud Grant interview, basically an entire hour in real time, going back and forth with Dan Barrero about his entire life. It was fascinating, really interesting stuff. Some good cheap shots on Lombardi and some other people. But his garage sale at 8134 Oakmere Drive, which is kind of by the Highland Hills area in Bloomington, is now open. 5 to 8 tonight, tomorrow 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then Friday 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. 8134 Oakmere Drive. If you Google Bud Grant's garage sale, you'll find stories about it, and the address will be in that story. But Bud Grant's house is now open.
I love it.
Welcome to Bud Grant's house.
And if yesterday was any indication on Twitter, there are some old school KFN merchandise items that are just absolute steals if you're going to go and show up and try to buy some.
I'm kind of kicking myself because I should have bought that hat that
he
was wearing.
That hat is so cool.
AM 1130
it.
Hat. From, yeah. That had to be 20 years old, maybe.
Purple
at
and
least.
Gold colors. I love it.
Yeah, it was very cool. Anyway, let's go through the top five at five because we got Kessler coming
up. We might as well do that, Gardzy. 7-5 was the final at Target Field today. That was the Twins and Cardinals wrapping up their two-game series. Twins were 5-4 in Interleague this season so far. 3 hours and 50 minutes it took to get through the whole game.
I was going to ask you. I was actually just looking
for
the time of
game.
Yes.
3 hours and 50 minutes.
We were talking with Meat Sauce in the first hour, and he was basically ready to go during the first hour of the show, and the game was still going on. For that pace of play, I didn't see all the game. We watched a little bit of it by our cube because it took literally forever, and I'd say mostly to blame Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
3 innings pitched, 82 pitches in 3 innings.
Gross.
He allowed 3 runs. He's technically the losing pitcher, which is interesting.
He did take the L today.
Okay. And, you know, he walked 4, he struck out 5, but I'm looking at his pitch count, and I think he took him 66 to get through the second inning. He had 66 pitches in the second inning.
No wonder the game took so long.
And I'm thinking, like, of all the nice little tweaks that the Twins made and everything, I went back and looked today. When the Twins signed Lance Lynn, people were excited. He was one of those names that was in the transactional wire as we were listening to Gleeman and the Geek, and we were following along on Twitter in a very slow moving free agent market. His name kept coming up in kind of that second tier of pitchers after the first couple went, right?
Right.
After, you know, Darvish, obviously, but then, you know, Archer was in the mix there. It's kind of the higher end guys. Lance Lynn, people were like, oh, if you can get a Lance Lynn, that's a nice little pickup for the Twins. Then they signed him to a 1-year deal for $12 million, and everybody's like, win-win. No long-term commitment, no big investment. He'll come in and give you some solid innings. He'll give you, you know, he'll elevate the floor of the rotation, I think, is how it was laid out by the GM, Thad Levine. And he's been dreadful this year.
He's been really bad. 1-4 on the season.
And the ERA is over 7, and it's just, it's very, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but not what we signed up for. Now, the benefit is you have them for a year. You know, where this gets tricky and where the Twins have gotten into trouble is when you give Ricky Nolasco $49 million, and rather than stick around for the last game of the year, he goes to Europe and doesn't pitch well, ever, right?
Correct.
That's what it gets. Or, you know, Phil Hughes was good the first couple of years he was here until the injuries and things, but you get in trouble when you give the big deals out to the pitchers. At least it's only a year. You can say, all right, experiment failed. It was worth trying. Nice idea at the time, but has not been at all what they thought he would be. I think that's fair to say. And now the Twins are 3 games under 500. And they got Milwaukee coming in this weekend, right?
Well, don't take it from you. Don't take it from me. Take it from Paul Molitor. And here's what he had to say about today's game and Lance Lynn.
In the eighth. Yeah, if you want to look for positives, we kept playing, you know. Had the go-ahead run up there. You know, we just had trouble containing today. Lance, you know, kind of still fighting it a little bit as far as command. you know, 81 pitches in three innings. That makes it tough.
There you go. Yeah, take it from Mr. Molitor that it does not help you.
And honestly, they did do a good job of fighting back. Like we were saying in the first hour of the show, they had the game-tying runner at the plate or at second base, I think, and weren't able to figure it out. So they lose 7-5. Milwaukee comes to town this weekend.
So they take an L on the field. They also take an L off the field as catcher Jason Castro. It has been reported as of this morning that he will miss the entirety of the remainder of the 2018 season.
The meniscus, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They thought it would be a 4-6 week bit. Turns out it's going to be a whole season.
He was just going to go get some rest initially, right? And then they said, well, you might need to have some surgery. We'll put him on the DL, all of that, and now he's done. So, yeah, we'll wait for them. They're definitely in the market now for some catching help. So good luck to them finding it.
No doubt about that. The NHL playoffs continue despite the Minnesota Wild. Feels like they've been done for about 3 years. But they do continue tonight as, let's go over last night's games first. Tampa Bay get a much, much, much needed win over the Capitals. 4-2. Lightning trail the Eastern Conference Finals 2-1, and then it's a pivotal game 3 tonight. Winnipeg and Las Vegas tonight at 7 p.m. You can hear that game on the Fan. That series tied at 1 game apiece.
I would definitely tune in at the start of that game, regardless, because just to feel a vibe and to maybe have some FOMO, because we've, the last, couple of days of the Wild season, one of the main topics was, well, the X was kind of dead. Wasn't very fun. Game 4, it felt like game 52 in the middle of February. It wasn't really a great environment. Some of that is playoff fatigue. Some of that is knowing what your team's capable of. Some of that is the team has to play well to give you some juice, right? Crowds aren't obligated to be the self-starters. But in situations like this where it's literally brand new, really for both teams, because this is Winnipeg's first big run too, but when it's brand new in Vegas in their first year of an existence, their first Western Conference final game, and all the pomp and circumstance that's already gone into this thing, that will be, as John Kreisel would say, lit tonight. One of the interesting things that Micheletti just talked about that I think has started to happen a lot more, maybe it's just because the Wild have been in the playoffs a lot the last handful of years, so we're paying attention to it more, but there's really no such thing as home ice advantage in hockey anymore. And I don't know if it's because hockey's a funny game and you play simpler when you're on the road. All the pressure's on the home team. You shorten the game a little bit. You might not be as aggressive. You pick your spots, or you are as aggressive as you want to be because you know you really have nothing to lose. Whatever the reason is, road teams have gone into buildings. Look no further than the Eastern Conference Finals, where the road team has won every single game to this point. And it's just interesting. Now, something we'll have to give in this series because Vegas was ridiculous at home this year. But their home ice advantage that they had during the regular season, I don't think would apply when hashtag because it's the cup is involved. Because teams that are going for the cup aren't going to the strip the night before the game that they might do in the regular season, right? That was the theory.
You would hope not.
Is that a lot of teams were maybe staying out too late the night before,
yep,
having dinner too late the night before, all of those things. In the postseason, I got to imagine that's tightened up on the road a little bit. But regardless, going to be a fun one tonight.
NBA postseason continues. LeBron James, 42-point effort last night. Not enough. As the Cavs fall 0-2 in their series against the Boston Celtics. Boston blew them out of the water in Game 1 last night. Just a bit closer, but Boston pulls away in the second half, especially with their humongous third quarter.
Yeah.
With a comfortable 107-94 win for Boston, they now lead 2-0.
Started the show with it. Might get back to it after Kessler at some point, but the way that the Cavs are conducting themselves, anybody that's not named LeBron is really annoying me. And some of the stuff might be on LeBron when it comes to the Ty Lue stuff. But just the way that they're basically throwing their coach under the bus and taking no accountability, having no accountability, or really self-awareness of who they are in the continuum, and the fact that, go back to 2 weeks ago, Saturday Night Live doing the spoof on who the other Cavs were. Maybe we should play that again.
Yeah, best
and
ever.
And remind these guys who they are, and just the little drips and drabs about their head coach, Ty Lue, really annoying me, especially given that they basically quit on their coach. And LeBron was part of that, too. LeBron had his hands all over David Black getting fired and bringing in his guy. But if I'm LeBron, I'm going to my teammates and going, hey, look, guys, number one, some help would be good. Number two, if you rip Ty Lue, you're ripping me because this is the guy I brought in. This is basically the guy that we all said we wanted. And so to put it all on him like he's getting out-coached by Brad Stevens every step of the way, which he probably is.
It's Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens is a good coach. That doesn't mean that you have to just be non-existent and ghost an entire series and then go, well, Yeah, their coach is doing a great job. Give me a break. Let's end it there because we got that long break in the middle, and I want to get to Kessler because we only have one segment with Mr. Kessler today. Good job putting that together, Ryan, especially the Mahler sound on the fly.
Thank you.
That's good producing.
High level, long time.
Pat Kessler, what's going on at the state capitol? A few things happened today. We're in our final countdown. We'll talk gambling because why wouldn't we? Nobody expects it's going to get done in the next 72 hours, but when will it get done? We'll talk to Pat Kessler after this about that.
Shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword BANK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BANK to 200-200.
You're listening to Justin Gard in for Dan Barrero on The Fan.
I wish the American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America?
Pat Kessler.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
I can't trust Obama. He's an Arab.
Pat Kessler.
Tear down this wall.
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Pat Kessler.
And now, to help Dan break down all the tough questions in politics, it's our own
Pat Kessler
Political Wonk.
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
It's Channel 4's
Pat Kessler
with Dan Barrero on The Fan.
Barrero out, Guardsy in, which means one single segment with Pat Kessler. I can't possibly keep Mr. Kessler's time more than just one single segment. I don't have as good a vibe with him as Dan does. I think Pat Kessler would agree with that as he waits patiently on the Whiting Clinic LASIK and Eye Care Hotline from your Capitol office.
Just get to it.
Sorry.
Yeah, we don't have a very good relationship, so
it's very
people don't know that
it's hit and miss. Yeah, it's very hit and miss.
People don't know that
it's very, very, very hit. Well, we're like Taylor Swift and Katy Perry.
Very much so. Which one are you?
I'm probably more of a T-Swift guy. I'm more of a Swiftie.
Well, you are because you caused the problem.
Yes, usually. Yes, right. I frequently Instagram things about you that you don't want public. Including our magical night, New Year's Eve in Orlando, Florida, getting ready for the Citrus Bowl.
Remember that one?
Barely.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed to talk about that. What goes on in Orlando, Florida, at the Viking at the Gophers bowl game, stays there.
It will.
Yeah.
Forever. The most important question you will be asked all day from me, and
yes.
I assume this is all you're talking about.
Yep.
At the Capitol. What do you hear when Ryan Donaldson plays this?
Laurel. Laurel.
Well, of course, that's Laurel.
You are correct.
That's what Laurel. It is. It's Laurel.
That's what people Laurel. Of our age say.
Now, I heard, because we're all doing, I think we've pretty much led the news with this tonight.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
On the Big Four.
Yeah.
But when they play it on television, what I hear is Yanni.
Yes. That's what happened to me this morning as well.
So it's the strangest thing, isn't it? I mean, it's the gold dress deal.
That's
so now
exactly
what's the controversy?
Right.
When I thought that when this came about, I thought we were talking about your favorite singer, your favorite musician.
I can't get enough Yanni.
Yanni.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like this.
Here he is. Ah.
The good times.
It's
good
just
times.
Magical.
Orlando, Florida. We played Yanni.
Yeah, frequently.
But yeah, I mean, so it's the strangest thing because when I hear it on the radio, I'm hearing Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear it on television, I'm hearing Yanni. I'm really having a difficult time tonight.
Laurel. You're not the only one. I mean, I've got so many. We did this, obviously, like everybody else, earlier in the show. Somebody says, can't even force myself to hear Laurel. I have listed multiple times on multiple devices. My favorite one was, I heard Laurel on the power trip this morning. I heard Yanni the first time after work. Now it's Laurel again. Now, basically, I think I have a brain tumor. I'm going to go get it checked out.
Alexa, play Yanni.
Oh, I thought you had an Alexa at your Capitol office.
Alexa, salt my potato.
So, Anyway, there, people do are surmising though that the younger you are, the more likely you are here to you are to hear Yanni.
Isn't that amazing?
Because it has something to do, obviously, with how your ears process things. And those of us that are a little bit older, and you, of course, a man in your 70s.
Right, I graduated high school in 1961.
We'll get to that in a minute. The ears don't work quite as well. They don't hear quite as well as they used to. So we all hear Laurel. The pups among us, the kids among us, all hear Yanni.
Well, this is pretty amazing to me because I try to take care of my ears in the business. I mean, this is a very sensitive thing.
Yes.
We deal with all sorts of different audio equipment all the time, headphones, earpieces, loudness. We're always in this business, so I'm very concerned that I'm hearing Laurel.
That's all of us here too, with headphones, and I mean, all of our hearing is terrible.
We have tremendous audio damage to our ears.
I understand. I empathize because we're in the same boat. So anyway, so you hear Laurel, I hear Laurel. Ryan heard something that's not.
Ryan,
even,
what do you hear?
It's not even an option. He just heard something completely different.
Well, this time I hear Laurel. This morning
Bill.
I heard Yanni.
I heard Bill.
And then when you play it pitch down, I hear Yaley.
Yeah, if you play it pitch down, you can hear something else. Do the
really?
Pitch down one. Do you have that one?
Yaley.
Oh, that's Yaley. Creepy.
I hear Yaley.
And no, he's not no, the only no. one.
That's creepy. That's like devil stuff.
Yeah. Speaking
Why
of devil stuff,
that?
Gambling might be coming.
Yeah.
Speaking of the devil stuff. And we know a Supreme Court decision earlier in the week that said, hey, it's not up to any of us to say states can't decide if they want to have gambling or anything. So now everybody's fired up. I just saw a story, though, in New Jersey that... For people that thought you could bet yesterday on games in New Jersey, not so fast, my friends.
Right.
They have to still go through a little bit of a legislative process, and they've got to work through some things. We obviously know about Representative Garofalo. He's front and center in all of this. The big question, Pat, that everybody has is they don't care about the other 49 states.
Right.
What does this mean for Minnesota when you're going to be able to bet Gophers Wisconsin, hopefully after a couple of pops, and make that bet legally here in the state of Minnesota? What
well,
should we expect?
Yeah, this is a pretty amazing thing. This could be one of the biggest cultural changes in our state in many, many, many years. If, in fact, we go ahead and legalize it, and how do all of the people feel about the Supreme Court now with all this dry legal arguments? This is about states' rights. Why should the federal government tell us that we can't have gambling, that only Atlantic City and Nevada can have gambling? That's what this is all about. We might be in a position in Minnesota, as in other states, but specifically in Minnesota, where you can bet on the next pitch. Is it going to be a ball or a strike? You can bet on what color are the uniforms going to be this week. I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be like England betting on soccer, where people sit in their seats and
right.
they bet online. It's going to be unbelievable. So what they have to figure out in New Jersey and in Minnesota is what are the regulations? What are the guardrails around this so we just don't go off the cliff with this? They have to regulate this in some way, the way they regulate everything from alcohol to cigarettes or whatever. But they're going to have to figure out a way to regulate this so that it doesn't go off the rails. And, of course, the state is going to get a cut.
Yeah.
Think about how much gambling we have in this state. Estimated how much? $2 billion, illegal or under-the-table sports betting. That's what could come to Minnesota. And what is the cut for the state of Minnesota? 1%? 2%? I mean, it's a windfall. We'll build another stadium.
If we need to. Well, you've worked at the Capitol a long time, and you know on this stuff the glacial speeds
yep.
that this state operates. I mean, we just went through Sunday liquor sales, which was the last vice that you
right.
know people...
It took 150 years.
It took forever, right? And
right.
and Pat Garofalo saying this is interesting phrasing, calling it Sunday liquor sales on cocaine.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting.
That was good.
But, you know, which maybe he's right. I'm not sure. But... Give us a sense of, because the assumption is people that have lived here forever go, well, maybe by the time I die, and I'm 35, maybe by the time I die, we will have a bill passed because of how Puritan we tend to be here and how we hold up our morals. So what does your gut tell you on when this is an actual, when our legislators will actually have the stomach to say, you know what, to hell with it. If you can't beat them, join them. You mentioned all that money. We'd like a cut of it. It would make a lot of other things a lot easier if we could take some of that money. So what do you think about the realistic timetable from what you've learned this week?
Yeah, it looks like with Sunday liquor sales, it looks like it hasn't really pushed the needle. It really hasn't. This wasn't a windfall. This wasn't millions and tens of millions of dollars into the state coffers. It might be a little bit of a bump, an uptick because of liquor sales. But we're talking about, if we're talking about $2 billion sitting there, this is a source of revenue we had no idea we even had access to. So I do believe that the legislators will move a little more quickly on something like this. Also because there is such intense interest among the public, particularly young people. Finally, when we have all of these devices now online, we have broadcast, we have on air, you can go to the game. Because of all of the different places, bricks and mortar casinos, because of all of that, I do believe it's going to move more quickly than anybody realizes. And there are different changes in our society that have changed us. You and your Segway, for example, you know, your your little scooter.
Yeah, that I used to get to work. Yeah, on the bike paths.
Helmet?
Yeah.
With your helmet
and my fanny
on the
pack.
Side of 394?
Yeah.
That is, but look at how the cell phone changed us. Look at how that handheld cell phone changed us. Everything on the computer. This is a change of that magnitude that we are going to see a complete cultural landscape change because of this. And when this kind of money's sitting here and they can use it for schools or for buildings, whatever they want, I mean, tax cuts, I can't believe they're going to leave it sitting on the table.
Do you think the Supreme Court sits back in its chambers yesterday morning as they get to work, or maybe right after they put the decision down, and they see that it just goes wall to wall, nationwide, A1 everywhere, and they probably think, of all the important decisions we've rendered in our tenure here, we are respected judges, we put our life into this work, interpreting laws, making huge decisions that impact millions of people, and this is the one that everybody's interested in.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest decision since Brown v. Board of Education in the 1950s. Think about it.
It is.
Here's what I imagine. Like your gal, RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, sitting back and watching as soon as it comes down. She's on her cell phone. She's on Twitter and watching this and seeing how it goes.
Yeah.
Sees the retweets and the likes. I mean, that's what I imagine them doing.
It's me too. And they're just probably just chuckling to themselves. And going, this is amazing. This will be our legacy as Supreme Court judges
and
or justices.
We have five major league professional sports teams here, six of them. I'm trying to count in my head, seven. How many do we have now? And there will be betting on every single one of them. And every one of those teams will also get a cut, as will the players get a cut. So I think with that many different interests, I think this thing is going
to
move.
Bringing it more closer to home or closer to home, closely to home, the Minnesota legislature passes the bill for tougher criminal penalties against people who block freeways, rail lines, or airport entrances. This has been a highly, hotly contested topic. I know the last, couple of years, really. What do we make of this? What's been the blowback or the brushback or the reaction to this bill passing?
Yeah, very, very controversial. This is the new way of protesting for a lot of folks, from Black Lives Matter to protesters who are upset about the way that African American males are being treated by police. There's just a ton of stuff. But what's happened is, after the Philando Castile shooting in Minnesota, when all the protesters took to the street, they went onto the freeways and they blocked them, and that got people's attention. Let's just say,
for sure.
I mean, they're still worked up about it. And it's already a crime to do. It's a misdemeanor. But now, if this bill is signed into law by Governor Dayton, and we don't know yet if he's going to do it, but they passed it in the House and Senate. If he signs it into law, this will make it a gross misdemeanor, which could mean jail time. And it could also, it's the same level of crime as, like, malicious punishment of a child or crimsex conduct or domestic abuse. That's the level of crime. I mean, it's really serious stuff that could follow you for the rest of your life, which is why this is so controversial. Is it an infringement on free speech? That's what they're deciding right now. So watch that really closely. The governor's going to have to decide on that pretty quick here.
Your reality check tonight.
Uh-oh.
It's a big one.
Well, happy birthday to your guy, Robert Mueller. Happy birthday tomorrow. 365 days, 1 year old, the 1 year anniversary of the Mueller investigation into Donald Trump, into Russian meddling. Let's be clear about that. I didn't mean Donald Trump. Into Russian meddling in the 2016 election, and whether anybody in the Trump campaign was involved in collusion or cooperation or coordination. That's what we're talking about tonight. Is 1 year too long? Trump says shut it down. Your guy Giuliani, whom I love, by the way. Do you like Rudy Giuliani?
I used to really like him. I'm a little concerned about him at this point. I liked his book, Leadership. I loved his book on leadership.
Right?
And so, yeah,
is he now just yelling at the clouds?
He was my guy in 08. I think that's when he was running. He was my guy until he dropped down.
He came to Minnesota.
I know.
Remember.
That's all it took for me. I said, hey, he came to see us. That's all.
He was in a big Cadillac Escalade.
Will Mike Pence be sending a cake to Mr. Mueller?
That's pretty amazing. So send him a 1 year. You're going to see them start blowing up tomorrow on this deal. But you think about this, they're all worked up because it's been a year and it's too much time. It's too long. Think about all these other investigations. You got to remember that Benghazi took 2 years,
right.
28 months. And Bill Clinton, from beginning to end, was 5 years. Can you imagine an investigation going 5 years? Starts with a real estate deal, ends up with lying under oath about having an affair with an intern, and he gets impeached. Think about it.
What a time to be alive that was.
I know.
Speaking of that,
I'm old enough to remember.
Well, we'll leave you with this.
Yes?
You gave us your graduation year of 1961.
Yes.
If you'd like to go today to graduationplaylist.com, the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, yeah.
It gives you, type in your graduation year, high school graduation, and it gives you all the songs from that year. We pulled this one for you, 1961, Pat Kessler. Who is this, Ryan?
This is none other than Bobby Lewis, Tossin' and Turnin', topping out at number one in 1961.
Bobby Lewis, you remember well Hawley High School, do you not?
Yeah, I am a proud Hawley Nugget, the Golden Nuggets, Hawley High School.
You guys were the Nuggets.
That's right. I mean, not just the Nuggets.
The Golden Nuggets. Wow. I never knew that. Well, I just imagine the farm boy listening to his Bobby Lewis. Is that who it was?
Yeah, and on Clear Channel Radio, up on a hill in the middle of the night.
In 1961.
Unbelievable.
What a time to be alive. Thank you. You're the best.
All right, man. See ya.
Pat Kessler, reality check tonight regarding the Robert Mueller investigation. You can watch it on Channel 4.
JG in for Barrero on The Fan.
But who's gonna have your back when it's all done?
Yeah.
It's all good when you live for your beer fun. Can't be a fool, son. What about the long run?
Damn.
Looking back, shorty, always I mention. Say me not giving her much attention.
I gotta say, I miss Shaggy. This trip down memory lane has really got me going on the graduationplaylist.com. Where's Shaggy been? How has Shaggy not been at Jingle Ball? Or something like that within the last 5 or 10 years.
I'm with you. This voice, he's got such a cool, unique voice.
Yes,
for sure.
It's extremely distinct.
He is still with us. He's 49.
I wonder if he tours anymore. I'd go see him. Maybe he's at the free stage at the State Fair a little bit later this summer. Because I'd stay after a show to go watch Shaggy.
We might have to play Boombastic after this next break.
Welcome back to the Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. Guardsy in for Barrero today. Dan will be back tomorrow. Thanks to Pat Kessler for joining, Pat Micheletti as well. Guest free the rest of the way. Had the Prism show wrap in about 30 minutes, as well as the Fox 9 news update about 20 minutes from now. You know, we often forget in our sports fandom and our rubidity that the people that we are watching do amazing things, like LeBron James scoring 42 last night. I think he had a triple-double. Or Kevin Durant doing whatever. Or Tiger Woods winning 3 majors out of every 4. and just dominating for a stretch, or just really anybody. Like on the other side, Lance Lynn today, struggling mightily again, laboring through three innings again, throwing 82 pitches in three innings again, having a bad outing again. It's very easy to sit back here and think of these people, because they are elite and they are high level, that they're just these automaton robots that have no human emotion and nothing else going on in their lives except what they do for their living, right? It's very easy to forget that. And when it comes to individual sports, I think it's even easier. And you see, like, my favorite sport is tennis. And what's changed now that the money has gotten really big in tennis and golf, especially for the top players, is as you've gotten more money, you've been able to bring people into your team and assemble a team. So where John McEnroe might have brought a coach, maybe, more likely he probably had a buddy of his that he played with growing up that would just come and warm him up for tournaments and maybe give him a little bit of advice. But you're pretty much on your own, you know, in these individual sports. But more often than not, you had your families and you had your little teams with you. And I bring it all up because when a player does something well in one of these individual sports, a lot of times it's because of that little team that they have assembled. It's their swing coach. It's their conditioning trainer. It's their nutritionist. And a lot of these top players have all of them because they have the money. They can pay somebody. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to be allegedly able to rely on your family. And we talked earlier this year when Patrick Reed won the Masters, right, about all the stuff that's going on in his family and how he's from Augusta. His home, I think childhood home, is like 3 miles away from Augusta National. And his mom and dad aren't there at the golf tournament. They are watching from their living room. And they have not spoken to Patrick Reed in basically a decade, right? And there's a lot we don't know about the situation, but what it comes down to basically is he's with his wife and his wife's family now, and they want nothing to do with Reed's family, right? So there was that interesting dynamic in what was supposed to be all green jackets and azaleas, right?
No doubt.
He wins the Masters.
Absolutely.
The Lucas Glover story is a completely different level. I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of Lucas Glover maybe ever. Maybe since he won the U.S. Open, I think, in 2009. So we're pushing a decade, right? And now I can't stop thinking about him because I just feel awful for him. And everybody makes choices in their life. And you make choices who you marry and who you associate with. Bud Grant talked about that yesterday. But it's hard for me to believe that Lucas Glover made a great choice here. If you hear the update of what happened. If you missed the top 5 and 5 yesterday, or you don't know what I'm talking about, his wife and his mother got in a fight after the third round of the TPC at Sawgrass this past weekend. The origination of the fight, the reason for the fight, apparently, was Lucas Glover's mother was coming to his defense because he was being verbally attacked at minimum, maybe physically attacked, by his wife because he had the audacity to miss the 54-hole cut at Sawgrass.
What's going on out here?
Here's the update to the story, which came by about an hour ago. The wife of former U.S. Open champion Lucas Glover made the first call to 911 and claimed she was attacked by her mother-in-law, according to a tape of the call released today that provided another bizarre twist in the wife's arrest on a domestic violence charge. Glover answered, Lucas, when the St. John's Sheriff's Office in Florida called back, said his wife was lying. Here's what Glover says. Yeah, hi, I think we got our lines crossed here. This is the husband, the sane one of the bunch.
Excuse me?
My wife has called you. Now she's trying to blame it on my mother, which is not the case at all. My wife has gone crazy. Krista Glover was arrested Sunday night, taken to the St. John's County Jail, released Sunday at a $2,500 bond, faces misdemeanor charges of domestic violence battery and resisting arrest without violence. She has a court date 2 weeks from tomorrow, May 31st. According to the arrest report, Glover told the deputy that his wife yells at him, states he is a loser, and other choice words when he plays poorly in a tournament. Earlier in the day, Glover shot 78 and missed the 54-hole cut at the Players' Championship, like we mentioned. Glover also told the deputy his wife had been drinking, according to the report. Krista Glover told the 911 operator she had been attacked by her mother-in-law, who had locked herself in a room. When asked how she was attacked, Glover's wife hung up and Glover answered when 911 called back. When asked if Sheriff's Office would send a rescue squad, Glover politely said that wouldn't be necessary. The operator then asked if she could speak to Glover's wife. No, you cannot, Glover says. She's in the house with my daughter, and when the deputies get here, they need to talk to the male. That would be me, because these other two are out of their heads at the moment.
Okay, calm down.
When the operator points out that the wife is who called, Glover replied, well, she's going to lie to you. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I answered the phone. She's telling lies. Interesting contradiction to what Glover himself tweeted out a couple of days ago, saying everybody's fine. Regrettably, although Krista was charged, we are comfortable that the judicial system is able to address what actually happened, and Krista will be cleared in this private matter. According to the report, Glover said his wife began the altercation when he was on the back porch, then began attacking his mother, Hershey Glover, when she tried to intervene. The deputy said in the report she was arrested based on injuries on Lucas Glover's arm and his verbal statements. Glover, by the way, has won 3 times on the PGA Tour, including the U.S. Open, played in the President's Cup twice. He earned nearly $2 million just last season on the course, let alone endorsements, and finished 43 in the FedEx Cup. He is currently number 104 in the world ranking. They have 2 children, a daughter who turned 5 on Monday. Happy birthday, honey. Your mom just got arrested for beating your dad.
Violence is out of the question.
And a 2-year-old son.
This story is insane.
My only reaction to this story is, what the hell?
Exactly.
What the hell's going on out here?
Vince Lombardi said it best.
Vince Lombardi, Whoopi Goldberg, all the ones we play. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
John Torchetti, Paul Molitor, Joe Mauer. What the hell is going on? Now, I know every house has something, but you just don't. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but that's just not the typical spouse of a professional athlete.
It's not exactly the best support system.
Exactly right. Overnight, Lucas Glover has gone from somebody I have never thought of except maybe once to, if I could buy a Lucas Glover jersey and hashtag Team Glover, I would do it all day.
I'm with you there, 100%.
I mean, I'm just thinking about what this guy, because clearly, I mean, I don't want to make light of, clearly his wife has issues. Alcohol might be one of them, given that she was drinking on that Sunday. So clearly there is something going on there. And we've seen a lot of stories publicly about spouses that have had to deal with a lot of stuff. There was one in the golf world here recently within the last couple of years where, gosh, we talked about it too. It was a tremendous story where it wasn't this grim, but the golfer's wife had gone into treatment. They were young, I mean like 24, 25. And for that time, he was not only the breadwinner going out to play professional golf, but he was in charge of raising their daughter. And I think he won a tournament, and just the outpouring of emotion that he had because his wife was now better and she had come back and
sure. They
were whole again. So, but it goes to my point. I mean, even me as someone who kind of gets that these people aren't robots and they're not, you can't just say, you know, they're not emotionless. I mean, you think about when they're trying to perform at the highest level. In Lucas Glover's case, the TPC, which is a hard tournament to get into, so hard, they throw 2 cuts at you. It's not just, hey, do well Thursday, Friday. You can play Saturday and Sunday. They have a 54-hole cut as well. But while he's sitting there looking over a 4-foot putt, maybe to make the 54-hole cut, he's worried about his wife yelling at him in the parking lot.
No doubt. I mean, think about it. The only other time I can remember a wife trying to get violent with a PGA Tour golfer was Tiger Woods' wife, Elin Nordegren. But she may or may not have had a pretty decent reason for it.
And that one, I'm Team Elin.
Exactly. No, that's my point.
Yeah.
She actually went after him with a 9-iron for a good reason, because he was cheating on her.
It had nothing to do with his performance on the golf course.
He was doing really well.
Where you're walking up to the clubhouse, and if you have any professional pride, you're thinking, yeah, you know, disappointing week. You know, and pro athletes are pretty good about kind of moving on. That's why they're great. They can get past failures, especially golfers and tennis players. One team wins every week, one player. Like, you win you finish a week happy because you won. If you're a great player, maybe five times a year, right? Other than that, top five, top 10, didn't win, but put myself in great position. I'm collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm going to get on my NetJet here and go home. And Lucas Glover's not worried about that. He made $2 million last year, and he's walking off the course wondering if his wife is going to yell at him, scream at him, hit him, whatever. Remarkable. And if I can go to PGA.com during the break and somehow get a custom-made Lucas Glover jersey, I'm going to do it because, my God, man, he's got some stuff. Now, hopefully this is, if his wife does need help, the final thing that says, hey, we got to change something here. We've got two young kids, 5 and 2. They need their mom, right? I'm not trying to separate families here and say, Lucas, what are you doing, man? For your own sanity, help out. Clearly, I think we're going to learn more about this, but yells at him, calls him a loser. Saw earlier this week, says stuff like, we would be better off without you. Man, I think everybody feels underappreciated in a marriage at times, husbands, wives, children, right? We all kind of go through that every once in a while, but man, pour one out for Lucas Glover tonight.
You're listening to Justin Guard in for Dan Barrero on The Fan.
You can still get tickets on sale now for the 5th annual Twin Cities Burger Battle taking place on Saturday. This Saturday, May 19th at Harriet Island, 25 local restaurants will compete for your vote and the right to be called the 2018 Twin Cities Burger Battle Champion. You can purchase your tickets and find out more at tcburgerbattle.com.
Get an attitude. Pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Sean Don and I'm over best because I got it going on. I'm a nice dude with some nice dreams. See these ice cubes. See these ice creams. Eligible bachelor. $1 million bow. That's whiter than.
Final half hour, bumper to bumper. Guards Ian for Dan today. He will be back tomorrow. We are in the Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. Frequent tweeter Tom off of our last topic giving the update on Lucas Glover's wife, the story from the TPC Sawgrass over the weekend where she was arrested under protest. She apparently kicked the squad car they were trying to load her into after she basically tried to fight Lucas Glover's mom as well as verbally berate Lucas. And police were called. She's apparently got some issues, does this a lot, calls him a loser, all of those things. You may have heard about the story. Tom wondering, why is Glover putting up with this? Sounds like an absolutely terrible person. He shouldn't worry about losing her kids, his kids to her because she's completely unstable. With all of that, from the outside, I agree 100%. However, we are not on the inside. We are on the outside. There's still a lot about the relationship we don't know about. He might be the greatest husband in the world and knows that his wife is going through something. I have no idea. It's very easy for us, just like we talk about all the time, abusive relationships, regardless, man to woman to man, woman to woman. We talk about all of them. The easy answer for all of us from 30,000 feet is go, I wouldn't put up with it. I'd get out of there. And that's my reaction right here is, what is he doing? Like, for the kids, right? I mean, even generally, like, it does not seem like it is a healthy or productive environment. A lot we don't know. And along those lines, I talked about the Billy Horschel story. He was the golfer I was talking about before. On the other side of this, on the other side of darkness, so to speak, he won the Byron Nelson Championship about a year ago. So we talked about it, I'm guessing, on the Cake Show about a year ago. He won the Byron Nelson. It had been nearly 3 years in between wins for him at that point. He had missed 4 cuts, really, going into the tournament. And as he got interviewed after he won, he got super emotional. Cried a little bit, just had a tough time explaining what the win meant to him. He didn't say why. The next day, his wife, Brittany, went out on Twitter and said and basically told the real reason why. And here's the other side of it. Billy was asked yesterday after his win at the Byron Nelson exactly what was his own challenges that triggered an emotional reaction to his victory. Well, that is a question my husband respectfully has left me to answer however the way I would like, if at all. However, to not answer would not only be unfair to him, but to my own integrity. I write this nervously, skeptically, but also proudly because I have embraced the woman I have become over the past year. 1 year ago, I began a journey to a healthy me, mentally and physically. I will keep this simple. I am an alcoholic. In that message, she went on explaining just how difficult it had been on Billy, but also expressing just how supportive he had been. The couple had their first daughter, Skylar, on September 16th, just 2 days after Horschel had won the FedEx Cup and the $10 million bonus. Brittany apparently has been sober for 1 year as of that weekend after going through rehab for about 2 months starting last May. Here's what she wrote. Billy had to take on 100% responsibility of taking care of our then year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, moving us into a new home, competing on tour, God only knows what else, and what all went through that man's head during that time. He silently battled through with support from family and close friends. A very sad, scary, and trying time. This weekend marked 1 year sober for me, but also marked a very hard-fought year for Billy. He deserves to soak in the glory of his win yesterday, throw his feet up, let out a long, deep sigh. So, that could be the other side of this whole story, right? Like we said, we are at 30,000 feet here. We don't know. But as we look at it, man, I mean, so just think of it. So it's really easy for us as fans, and I know it's, you know, not everybody's going through something like this, but we forget sometimes that, yes, they are supreme athletes and remarkable competitors and can do things really that in their field, 1% of the population has ever been able to do, right? They're the elite of the elite. Same goes for college kids, really. We talk about the different challenges they go through at a much younger age, by the way, which is why, you know, yeah, you got to be critical at times. That's the job. They're paid big money in terms of the professionals to do what they do. They are able to live very lucrative lifestyles because of their skill and the criticism that goes with it. But, man, sometimes a 5 foot putt's not a 5 foot putt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be, that's all between the ears, too, because that's got to be in the back of your mind as a player. And golf is 80% mental, man. So that's surprising to hear. It's a crazy story.
And you hope that his wife eventually, whether it's alcohol, anger, whatever,
this has to be the wake up call.
Figures it out that, man, we got to, something has to change here, because it does not sound like it's, forget about being a professional golfer, as difficult as that is, which you said is they'll tell you the difference between top 10 and top 400 is not talent, right?
Small margin.
A lot of guys out there can swing. A lot of guys out there can hit it 300 yards and put it within 10 feet, right? It's everything, like you said, it's just the mental part of it. But man, Lucas, he's my guy now.
Yeah, I'm on Team Glover for sure.
Hashtag Team Glover. Breaking news earlier today regarding the Michigan State Larry Nassar scandal. If you've been following this at all, I think everybody knows the Nassar scandal on the surface. Former Team USA gymnastics doctor found guilty of sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual molestation, whatever you want to call it, disgusting things over a period of years with Team USA and a lot of their high-level gymnasts, a lot of times at the Caroli Ranch in Texas, but also at Michigan State University, where he was a university physician. He worked at the university hospital, I believe. And today, Michigan State University has reached a settlement for $500 million with 332 victims. You knew it was a lot. When you see that, it is remarkable of that abuse. The university will pay $425 million to the victims, and an additional $75 million will be set aside in a trust fund to protect any future claims of sexual abuse against Nassar, just in case there are some. It would be hard to believe there are more, given that there's 332 already, and everybody has come forward, right? The dam has burst, so to speak, thankfully, that these people were able to say what they wanted to say, get out from under it is not the right way to put it, but
just get the monkey off their back, well, get it off their chest.
That's they don't have to live with the secret anymore. They found out that they weren't alone. In fact, they weren't alone at all. They were probably in the majority of people that were under his care, whether it was Team USA or Michigan State. So Michigan State Board Chairman Brian Breslin, written statement: "We are truly sorry to all the survivors and their families for what they have been through. We admire the courage it has taken to tell their stories." Nassar was convicted, sentenced to more than 200 years behind bars. Now the interesting thing is going to be, where does that money come from? When you think about, how cash-strapped a lot of universities are just generally. And I'm not talking about sports. I'm not talking about the athletic part of it, because we know that money's often privately funded, for people that don't know that. And it's hard for me to believe that people don't get that at this late date, that money for facilities, money for travel, all of that. The athletic department is its own thing. It's not a, well, I pay taxes on that. Your tax dollars have nothing to do with the university of whatever athletics departments. At the Division I level, they run they are their own business and entities. But the schools, we hear about this all the time. The money they've got to pay for the buildings, how tuition increases are going up basically every single year because they're trying to make ends meet. They need money from taxpayers, which has, you know, comes and goes a little bit. But this one, $500 million. They're wondering, will this put Michigan State in bankruptcy? That's something that the Board of Trustees had to talk about. But at the end of the day, you have to make this right if you can make it right, and make it right in financial terms only, because you clearly blew it for more than long enough, given how long he was working at Michigan State and given how long people were working under him or working around him, heard complaints, saw complaints, whatever. $500 million, man. That it'll be interesting to see where that goes, right?
That's got to be the biggest penalty or, you know, fine, whatever word you want to call it, in history, right? I mean, I remember like the Patriots got fined like $100 million or something along those lines.
Here's some context. Yeah, 2013, Penn State, Jerry Sandusky,
there you go,
paid more than $90 million to settle civil claims filed by more than 30 men who say they were sexually abused by retired coach Jerry Sandusky. So 30 was 90 million. 332, 500 million. So where Michigan State goes, and really it's a lesson to everybody out there and all businesses, the cover-up is always way worse than the crime. Not knowing or not following up when you should, allowing this to go on, you basically turned a blind eye for, I don't know, a decade? $500 million, and now where the school goes from here, who knows with that, but wanted to pass that along as something that was going on. Fox 9 News update. Here's what's coming up tonight. Fox 9 News at 9 and 10. A Bloomington garden center has been in business for 99 years, dealing with an issue they've never had to deal with before. After a construction project, they have a major water problem. Had to reroute some groundwater for the project. When they were done, it is wreaking havoc. They're worried if they will be in business for their 100th year. So Fox 9 will give you the update on that. Fox 9 investigation also into the child protection system in Minnesota. Tom Lydon takes an in-depth look at how the entire system could be flipped. That's coming up. Fox 9 News tonight at 9 and 10. Prism Show Wrap when we come back.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
JG in for Barrero on the Fan. It's the Bumper to Bumper Show Wrap, brought to you by Prism Clinical Research.
Final couple of minutes of Bumper to Bumper today. Guards in for Dan. He will be back tomorrow. He will be back on Friday. Dr. Dan's inbox will be open tomorrow at 4:30. You can email me at jg@kfan.com. I already have a couple of submissions. We'll take them. We take them even during the segment sometimes. If I think there's one that I like, I throw it in there. So jg@kfan.com for Dr. Dan's inbox tomorrow. What a program we had today. It was Todd Radio in the 3 o'clock hour, and it spilled into the 4. Meat Sauce Paul Lambert hung around for the entire hour. We talked NBA Finals. We talked Andrew Wiggins. We reviewed the drunken 20th cities in America, where 10 of them were from Wisconsin, including the top 4. Green Bay, the drunkest city in America, according to USA Today. Upper Midwest, heavily represented. Grand Forks was in there. Fargo was in there. Ames, Iowa, Iowa City, Mankato, and North Mankato. They threw in a shout-out for North Mankato as well. So we have a lot to be proud of here in the Upper Midwest. So smoke them if you got them. Have a drink tonight as you're pulling into the liquor store right now. Remember, you are in potentially the drunkest part of the country. So good for all of us. Pat Micheletti joined at 4:30, talked about Stanley Cup playoffs, talked about National Women's Hockey League, talked about Jaromir Jagr, who made it official he will play for a 30th year overseas at 46 years old. Pretty remarkable stuff there. Pat Kessler joined at 5:15. We talked sports gambling, also talked about what's going on at the legislature in Minnesota, including a tougher penalties law that was passed for protesters that go onto a highway or major freeway. That will be something to watch in the next couple of days. And, of course, we tackled the Yanni or Laurel controversy because everybody has done that today. I hear Laurel. Ryan hears Yaley, which isn't really an option, but that's all right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Reminder, Bud Grant's garage sale is going on right now. Another hour and a half or so tonight, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. On Friday, it's 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. 8134 Oak Mere Drive in Bloomington, Minnesota. Dan's back tomorrow. Hey, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. Have an elite Wednesday night.
Laurel.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Dan Barrero channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.